I know you don't smoke weed. I know this. But I'm going to get you high today. Because it's Friday. You ain't got no job. And you ain't got shit to do.
Everybody's got a holiday. Some got Christmas and New Year's. But everybody's mine. I got 52 a year. Friday's my day.
Y'all, here it is. It's Friday here on Let's Talk, and y'all know what that means. It's Freedom Friday, y'all. What's going on out there? This is Let's Talk on Claw Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and we got another great show planned for you today. Hey, y'all know it's Freedom Friday, so y'all know we doing Freedom Friday. Man, we make things happen, all right? And we're going to revisit a topic we had on Tuesday's show. What do you bring to the table? I know some of y'all were still confused from Tuesday's show, so you know what? I'm going to give y'all another chance to think about it and come up with some answers here about what you bring to the table. Not only you, though, but what do you require the other person to bring to the table? See, things like that. That's what we're going to be talking about today. So y'all go ahead and fasten them seatbelts and get ready, because it's Friday. You ain't got nothing else to do. So let's get down, y'all. Let's talk about some things. I love this song, man. Friday is my holiday. I'm telling you, every Friday is a holiday season. And of course, she looked up at me. Yeah. All right. What's on, y'all? I'm sounding a bit better now. You know, so good. Am I sounding a bit better? I'm sounding a bit better. I'm not shaking my head a little bit. You know, this is Blog Talk Radio. You know what the hell going on with them. Y'all doing today? Hope y'all having a good one. The sun is out here. It's nice and hot. You know what I mean? We're having a ball. We chilling. We relaxing. And I'm feeling good. Is it November yet? Heck no, it's not November. Who's waiting for November, man? Oh, there'll be 80 degrees here in November. Okay, you want your new Xbox. Okay, my grand, you can get your Xbox. All right, I want to say what's up to the chat room, Goofy. Hey, ride or die, Goofy, ride or die. My grain be coming a ride or die, I'm telling you. Sometimes we wonder about what they be thinking about, but hey, Migraine be there with us no matter what. Guest 2359, welcome to the show today. All right, y'all, this is once again, this is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I am Mr. Talking. It's Freedom Friday, y'all. And as I always say, we never know where we're going Freedom Friday, because I start off somewhere, and sometimes we end up all in a whole other country. But we're going to try and keep it nice and smooth today, because we're going to be talking about what do you bring to the table, part two. That's right, because we had part one Tuesday. So if you didn't catch part one, no problem. Part two is going to be some of that and more. You know, you're more than welcome to go back and listen after the show to part one. Then you can put part two together, and then, hey, it's all good. All right, y'all. Okay, we didn't got all that out of the way. Let's talk about some things. You know, we got to go on with the house rules, and they simple. Act like an adult when you call my show. That's simple, isn't it? You can't get any better than that. That's right. No, you can't get any better than that. That's a simple thing to do. Just act like an adult. Because this is an adult show, and we do say adult things. Now, we may offend some of you. Oh, well, it happens. But don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. Because we're not directing anything at you. I would never let anyone direct anything derogatory toward anyone on my show. I don't play that. Goofy can, you know, back me up on that. And Migraine can. I don't do that. However, there are some of you that will call in and try. Don't do it, okay? I will handle you. When someone else is talking, let them talk. They let you talk, so we want to hear what they have to say just like we want to hear what you have to say. Respect their mic, because if you don't, I will make you respect their mic. That's right. Keep your answers short and cool. That's right, short and cool. Just short, man. And we don't need no 10, 15-minute dissertations about why your big toe blew up last week and 3 years ago, and now today you barely can walk. Look, it's like this. Keep it to the point, on topic, and we can go. Now, we should happen to drift off topic, no problem. I will decide how far I let it drift, and I'll bring it back if it's time. Don't try and tell me what I need to do to my show, because I got this under control. All right? Thank you. Into now, I see you out there. Thank you for joining us. Okay, so. And the bottom line, I think I've mentioned this already, do not attack anybody on my show. All right, don't do that. Because if you attack somebody on my show, I'm going to attack you. That's right. You'll be attacking and you'll be out there all by yourself, attacking whoever. Because out there by your freaking self, don't attack nobody on my show. We don't play that. We will not have that. That's right. We will not have that. You know, we don't have nobody attacking each other. You can attack what someone said. You can attack the topic of the day, but do not attack anyone personally on the show, okay? You see, it's just that easy. It's not hard. But some of y'all can make it hard, but it's okay. We'll slowly bring you back into the fold. I know, man, I'm telling you. Oh, Lord have mercy. And just to mention, when you do call in and we put you on the air, we do not. I'm one of those liberal hosts, okay? And when I say liberal, I mean once I open your mic, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to leave your mic open so you can interject your response into the conversation at hand without, you know, have me having to unmute you, because that's too much energy, okay? And sometimes you lose your train of thought while you waiting for me to unmute you. So I leave the mic open, leave your line open, so you can interject at the same time. But don't get it twisted now. Please don't get it twisted. If you begin to get kind of outrageous and don't want to let anyone talk, then hey, it's hot and popping. I'm about to put you on the sideline. I'm just going to tell you how it is, y'all. It's simple. But sometimes you make it kind of hard. So those are the house rules, okay? And we're looking to have some fun today. As I mentioned before, the topic of the day is, what do you bring to the table? Part two, okay? Uno dos. Ein zwei. One, two. But that sounds like it's about time to get a song started, didn't it? I know, man. But, hey, it is what it is. So, anyway. We have that out of the way. Now, let's get to what else we have to do today. you know, there's some things going on, and I just want to say, what's up? That's all I'm going to say, what's up. Because you know what? Today is Friday, y'all. We're going to have some fun today. So if you're having a bad day or what have you, don't worry about it. We're going to make you laugh a little bit. We may make you angry a little bit. We'll make you think about some damn things, okay? But you know what? It's all in love. It's all in love. You know, because sometimes we get a little rough here. Not only with new people, we get rough with our dangle. Sometimes I think we're rougher on ourselves than we are with new guests. We kind of take it easy on them once or twice. But you know what? It's all good. It's all good. All right. Now, we have a song of the day and we have a quote of the day. And lately, man, I'm going to tell you, the song of the day and quote of the day been popping. And being it's Friday, hey, it's going to be the same though, same way. Because I'm telling you, today is Friday, and if you're not in a good mood, I'm going to get you in a good mood. I'm telling you. All right? So go on and get that sip of drink, that drink ready, the cocktail, the coffee, your juice, whatever the heck you sipping on, and let's get ready. All right, here's the quote of the day. And you know what? I don't know why this quote of the day came to me. It just did when I saw it, and it just popped out. And maybe somebody needs to hear this today. I really don't know. And but, you know, I'm going to read it anyway. Okay? So here's the quote of the day. No matter how many mistakes you make or how slow you progress, you are still way ahead of everyone who isn't trying. Is that deep or what? Huh? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, sometimes, you know what, sometimes we don't think of things that way, do we? The only thing we do is see what we're doing wrong and where we are. But sometimes you have to take that step back and take a look at your surroundings and realize you're really not doing as bad as you think you are. Now go back to the old saying, right? There's always someone worse off than you. That's right. No matter how many mistakes you make or how slow you progress, you are still way ahead of everyone who isn't trying. And, of course, y'all know on this show, man, we have talked about people not trying and what they and how lazy we have become as a society. So if you're struggling a little bit, don't worry about it. Keep going. Don't stop. You know, sometimes you're going to hit those little bumps in the road. Sometimes you're going to bang your head up against the wall. But put that bandage on and keep going. Don't stop. Because, hey, your blessing is at the end of the tunnel. Yeah, you may bang off of it a couple of times, you know, fall down. But you'll get back up. Just get back up. No, don't lay there. Don't let it take over you. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Do what you need to do. Because as long as you're trying and you're moving, hey, like it says, you're way ahead of everyone who's not trying. Okay? And you know the best part about it, though, once you fall down and you get back up, you can always tell somebody else. You can always tell somebody else, hey, I was there with you, but I kept going. And you see where I am now. See? Oh, Lord, hammers. Like $2, say, hey, don't forget to keep smiling, right? All right. That was the quote of the day. That is the quote of the day. I know somebody may have needed that idea. As I said before, I don't know why, you know, it popped out at me when I was researching quotes for the day, but that one did. So I'm sure someone may have needed it, and it was put on my, you know, on my heart to share that. Okay? All right. Now, being that it's Freedom Friday, y'all, and you know, we got to bring it in right. We do. We have to bring it in right. Before we bring it in, though, remember, if you want to join the conversation, share your opinion, what have you on the show today, just give me a call, 347-838-8622. All right? Now, the song of the day, I'm telling you, if you don't start bopping your head and rocking and rolling off this song, then I don't know. We're going to have to send a doctor over there because something ain't right with you. All right? Because this song of the day is going to definitely get you to moving. Because I know what some of you are going to say when you hear it. Oh, man. because some of y'all not going to say man, but y'all get the drift, all right? So without further ado, here it is, man, the song of the day.
Yeah.
light, y'all. That's what I'm talking about.
Everybody's got a little light under the sun, 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 under the sun.
All right, all right, all right. That is, y'all, that is the song of the day, Flashlight from Parliament Man. I'm telling you, Funkadelic. Oh, Lord have mercy. What's going on out there, y'all? Now, if you're not feeling good now, then, hey, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. Because you know what? We were rocking. I know I was bopping and jopping. Man, it made me do some of that old stuff we used to do back in the day, you know, with Rerun and the crew. That's right, man. I'm telling you. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Some of y'all on the line understand that. The rest of you, hey, you just got a lesson in what good music is all about. Flashlight. All right, y'all. Here we are. This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. This is Freedom Friday, and I'm your host, Mr. Talk. Want to join this conversation? Want to get on the show today? No problem. 347-838-8622. Hey, if you want to send me a message and you don't want to get on the show, be heard, hey, easy, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Hey, I'm looking at that too. And of course, here we go. Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. Drop by and leave me a note. Okay, here we go, y'all. Let's get on with the show. You know what? There's a lot of guests in my chat room. That's great. Hey, man, the more the merrier. We welcome everybody. You know what I mean? And, hey, we want to give them shout out to our chat room regulars and the guests. Benny, I see you. Goofy, Cat, Migraine, Into Knowledge. All right, that's what I'm talking about. And all my guests out there, thank you for joining us. And we're about to get ready. On my switchboard, man, I'm telling you, I got some sweet stuff going on the switchboard. 254-678. DP Darling, I see ya. And of course, we got that 111 out there. That's no telling who that may be. But I got a good idea. But anyway, thank y'all for joining us today. And everybody else out there listening, hey, let's have some fun, y'all. Now, I just got a message to say I need to listen to somebody, Perry Steele show from last night, because apparently somebody supposedly went off on me. You know what? It's all good. You know what? It's all good. You know why? Because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's right. And you know what? And if they keep bothering me, I'll be laying in the bushes waiting on them. But nobody wants to see that side, right? Right. All right. Anyway, enough of that. Enough of that. So let's get on with the get on, man. Today's topic is, what do you bring to the table, part two? But before we get to that, the main topic, there's another topic I want to talk about. I was watching the news, and I saw something come on, and I thought it was very interesting, because it's something that I don't think we really ever think about. And that's, there's some senators that actually are considering getting some legislation started as far as putting cameras in the Supreme Court courtroom. Imagine that. Now they want to put cameras in the Supreme Court courtroom. What is really going on? Okay. Now, this person I'm about to bring in, look, they need no introduction. He's ride or die. He's with me every day. Y'all know him as the man with the low libido. We know him as Montana Joe. What's going on?
That's right. Start off the show with my libido. Wait till I get a hold of you. All right.
What's up, man?
Hey, you know what? I'm glad you're having the show again, part two, about what do you bring to the table, because we really didn't answer it the other day. Can you do me a favor on this show? Make sure that when we talk to people, we ask them, what do you bring to the table? And we get very, very specific answers, because we got distracted too much the other day.
Well, you know what, Joe, and I think we made that point clear the other day about how when we do ask that question, whether it's to someone else or we try and answer it ourselves, a lot of times we don't even know, because we get too general with it. You understand? We may start off with one or two specific things, but then it becomes generalized, and we really don't get down to answering the question. So, yes, you are absolutely right. Maybe that's what we need to do. That's what we will do today. Before we let anyone say that, we have to ask him that question. What do you bring to the table? But you know what, Joe? I want to add a little bit more to it today, because I also want to add not only what do you bring to the table, but what do you require the other person to bring? Let's see how specific they can be. But here's the thing, Joe. In a lot of instances, they can be more specific about what they want the other person to bring, instead of what they're bringing to the table. So, yes, we're going to look at all that today, Joe, and I'm glad you brought that up, man. I'm telling you.
Otherwise, I'm going to have to question these people like I'm at a defense attorney because all right, yeah, because otherwise they'll go off for 5 minutes talking about everything else but that. And that is the core of a relationship. What are you bringing to the table? What is it that I want from you? And what makes us think that what we're bringing is so important? And it can be answered in less than 5 minutes.
Yeah, I know. You know what? I got to do something because I owe this to somebody. So I'm going to say it. And this hurts me to say this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. Congratulations to the Miami Heat on winning the NBA championship last night. Okay?
Aww.
I said it. Oh, that hurt me to say that, man. But, okay, they won the game. All right, they won the NBA championship.
They fought for it, too. Game 6 and Game 7 were battles.
Look, Joe, that's how far we're going with it now. We ain't talking no more. I had to
say congratulations.
You don't
want to talk about LeBron this two times. Okay. Back-to-back. Okay, no problem.
Okay, thank you. And I'm not going to talk about them two idiots named the two people whose names start with K want to name their child North. You know what? I don't know about these people around here these days. They need to leave that stuff alone. You name a baby North. You know, just because your last name is West, so your baby name is now Northwest without a middle name. Really? We need to stop this crap.
Some parents don't know how to, you know, they name their kids Waldo and Alvin and all kinds of stupid
stuff. Well, I take Waldo and Alvin before I take North. Really? That's about as bad as Blue Ivy. You know, just because you have money don't mean you can just mess up your child name. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, they're going to be in a lot of fights.
Yeah, I know, right? But anyway, let's get back to what I was talking about before I let you in, Joe. Supreme Court. Some legislators want to put cameras in the Supreme Court. What you think? You think that's a good thing?
Yep. I want transparency. I want to know what the court is thinking. I want to know what the proceedings are. I want to know
They're telling you what they're thinking already when they make rulings.
So what? I want to know how it's going. I don't want to have to necessarily read a 200-page transcript. I want to see what's going on right then and there. I want to find out what these people are thinking, how they're questioning, whether or not it's fair. Now, remember now, when we talk about the Supreme Court, people very, very easily divide up the court into liberals and into conservatives. That automatically shows the court is tainted. The court is not supposed to lean left nor lean right. It's supposed to be blank, supposed to be neutral, supposed to rule according to the case before them, and in conformity to the Constitution. It's not supposed to have a liberal meaning.
Well, in that case, then why put... Okay, I agree with you, Joe. So then why put cameras in there then? Here's my point. Here's my point. You put the cameras in, then now you have to worry about the justices performing for the camera because they don't want to be seen at going one way or the other, you know, which they are divided that way. There's no doubt about that. But you put the cameras in the courtroom now, and then that adds a little bit more pressure to conform, as you say, conform one way or the other. Right now, they're behind closed doors, so they have the discussions, you know, that we don't need to know about, really. You know, they have in place Federal Rule 53, and that goes back all the way to 1946. And basically what it says, except as otherwise provided by a statute or these rules, the court must not permit the taking of photographs in the courtroom during judicial proceedings or the broadcasting of judicial proceedings from the courtroom. Now, in 1972, they expanded that rule to include the television cameras. Now, the reason why you can hear audio now is because in 1999, there was a Senator Chuck Grassley, you know, who introduced legislation. So, you know, that's why you can hear the audio part of it now. But I really don't think they should put the cameras in there. I mean, right now the court is split 4-3, and you have two justices. Who is it? Stephen Breyer and Samuel Alito, you know, who's staying out of it as far as whether they can't decide whether they want the cameras in there. So even they're split about it. So I don't think they should put it in there, really. And that's just my opinion. But go ahead, Joe.
I already made my mind.
What was your reason? That's it? I use that same reason to twist it and say no.
No,
there ain't no good reason, Joe.
No, we're supposed to have transparency. We, as the people, we are not supposed to see secret, or supposed to have secret chambers or secret proceedings. Everything done by the government is supposed to be transparent for the people. It makes it better. The pressure you're saying is a good pressure so that they don't lean left or right. They're supposed to make decisions based upon the Constitution. Not upon constitutional logic, not upon their personal beliefs.
Well, in that case, Joe, look, it's like this. They're already doing it. They've been doing this for years, and nobody really has a problem with it, I don't think.
Well, apparently we do.
I mean, no, well, just these little folk senators, and I think they just basically ran out of to do. Anyway, but I don't think we're putting cameras in the Supreme Court would actually make anything different or better. I really don't. Because, it's one of those things where some things, and we've discussed this many times on the show, some things we don't need to know what goes on.
Yes,
you know, half of them old and decrepit anyway.
Then we need to know it.
You need to know it? Why?
We need to know these people are functioning according to abilities of brain power, as opposed to maybe being bribed by lobbyists, or maybe because they're forgetful and their staff comes along with facts and figures. I want to know the cranial capability, if you will, of these particular people.
Okay, here, I'm going to use this as an example. All right? I'm going to use this as an example. And it may not be quite on, but I'm going to use this as an example anyway. Now, once again, we're on that word transparency, correct?
Mm-hmm.
We're on the council. Now, this latest big thing is we found out that, it's been known since 1972, basically. But now we know that Big Brother has actually been listening to our calls and monitoring our communications. Now, we know this. This is the transparency that everyone has been talking about.
No, but it's not.
But no,
Eric.
It's the same general, Eric.
Yes, we are the American citizens.
We are the Americans, right. So you want that transparency, but we just been given
transparency,
and everybody
means,
is up in arms about
no,
it.
No, transparency right? means governmental proceedings. Privacy applies to the American citizen. Privacy should not apply to certain sections of government when they're making decisions that affect us and put you as a truck driver out there in Afghanistan being shot at. You should know the reasons why. If the reasons are exposed and they aren't good reasons, you don't have to be out there being shot at, and your buddies don't have to die.
Okay, look. It's like this. If you're going to put them in the Supreme Court, you might as well go and put them in the White House. You put them in the White House, you need to put them in the chambers of the Congress and the Senate. If you do all that, hell, just let's put cameras every dang well, which we damn near have them there anyway. But let's put cameras all over the, you know.
You're starting off with the wrong premise. You should say, if they've got cameras everywhere spying on us, then we should spy on the spiers.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. So who's going to monitor the cameras that's spying on the camera, the spires, and the spires that's spying on the spires? But, I mean, come on.
What the hell are you talking about?
Exactly. Exactly.
No, they can broadcast over CNN.
Let's just put them everywhere.
You know? Okay, I know, there's no arguing with you. I know when I'm beat. You beat me. You win, Michael.
My name ain't no Michael, all right.
You're going to zap me? I know I'm going to get 9, 8.
I'm not going to zap you right
7.
Now. I'm not going to. You know, no. You good. You good. It's Friday. We having fun Friday. But
okay.
You understand my point. I don't. If you open up that can of worms and place those cameras in the courtroom, in the Supreme Court, then every case. See, and here's the thing. Then that opens up this whole Pandora box because every trial that goes on, they're going to want to have a camera in. You know, yes,
so
it, you know, and the O.J. Simpson trial is really what started all this nonsense about cameras in the courtroom. You know, I don't. Some places need to stay as is, and I think that's the Supreme Court. I really do.
All right.
Now, what about y'all in chat room? I see y'all talking about hugs and kisses, whatever. What y'all think about that? Y'all think cameras should be placed in there?
Yeah.
Oh, Hood, don't get sensitive on me, Joe. Come on, man.
Look, I know when I'm up against a wall. So I just met the wall, and the wall won.
Oh, whatever. Anyway, so that's just my thought process. Once again, y'all want to join the show and be a part of it, 347-838-8622. Hey, me and Joe on the line right now, we're talking about cameras in the Supreme Court.
And if you bring your fat asses on the line, start talking about what you bring to the table. Remember, I'm holding your feet to the fire. You can't get away and start talking about bullshit today.
Oh, Into Knowledge said, didn't we used to have court TV? Yeah, we have court TV, but that's nah. You know, that was really what they call TV. Really wasn't court TV. You know, that was a bunch of analysts sitting there talking about what's going on inside the court. You remember that, Joe?
What?
Court TV.
Yeah. They've got
and
good
what
cameras
they turned into,
courtrooms.
What they turned into, True TV? And then they turned into, yeah,
turned
something
into
like that.
It turned to bullshit.
Yeah, because it just, it
but
wasn't
not
even worth it.
Because of the presence of cameras. Presence of cameras within governmental proceedings are a good thing. Look, if you don't think so, I, as a rational human being, am not going to change your mind. So you can get stuck with whatever you thought processes you have.
Well, here's my point, man. See, and you have to think that the proceedings that goes on in Congress when they're on TV and stuff, and everybody grandstanding and what have you, and nobody's doing what they need to do. You know, Into Knowledge say, well, the Supreme Court cases are really important, so why shouldn't we see it? Well, because, as I said, you know, let's keep them behind closed. Okay, in that case then, well, Joe going to agree with this, I know. Let's go ahead and put some cameras in the Fed so we know how they're making all these great decisions and how our money is being gone. I mean, let's do it then. If we're going to put cameras in the Supreme Court, let's put cameras in all the government entities and things, and let's see what's really going on. And then we will truly have transparency. And you think we up in arms now about the Verizon and all that other stuff, oh, man, we really would be in trouble. That's just my opinion, of course. That's the way I'm thinking. Go ahead, Joe.
You all have heard the opinion of Eric Jackson. His opinion does not reflect mine, so whatever the host says on this show is his show. I am just a caller. I do not reflect his beliefs.
Not on this subject anyway. All right, y'all. Joe want to see the cameras. I say leave the cameras out the Supreme Court. Hey, we got enough problem with cameras anyway. So whatever. All right. Hey, it is what it is. Joe say no. I say yes. Noah, I say yes. Joe say no. Yeah, something like that. Anyway, let me bring this call in. He's one of the cuz, and this guy here started out when he first called, and he wouldn't do nothing but listen. But now he became a part of the crew. He's a ride or die listener and caller, and we're going to bring him in right now. Here it is, Cuz Vernon.
Cuz.
What's up, cuz?
What's happening?
Cuz.
Yeah. Eric, I can't believe my ears, man.
What?
I cannot believe my ears. You said we don't need cameras in the Supreme Court. Come on, Eric.
No, I truly believe we don't need cameras in the Supreme Court, man. We really don't.
Hey, but I mean, you think about it. Okay, if they can kick back and watch and listen and in on everything we got going on, you know, with our phones and whatever else the case may be, I mean, and these damn satellites they got, ain't no telling what they ain't looking at with you. You know, hey, how come, why can't we watch them? What they got to hide? What do they have to hide, man?
It's not about what they have to hide. It's all about, you know, let certain things just stay behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, in this case, that yes, they're passing very important, supposedly very important issues and laws as far as things should be done in this country. But I still say, if you put cameras in there, then you have a lot of grandstanding, and you're not going to get true decisions out of there, because they're pitching half the people right now on, and I'm one of them on this line right now on this show, cannot tell you more than maybe three people on the Supreme Court. You put cameras in that court.
Alito, Scalia, Clarence Thomas, Kennedy.
And that's the best part. That's a good part about
Hagan,
it, because
Sotomayor.
Okay. Do you know how they look?
Yeah, I know how they look.
Well, Eric, one thing about it, if they saying that they riding one way in the public's eye, and then they getting behind these closed doors, Supreme Court, and then they riding another way, we would know that, right or wrong.
Yeah. But see, Vernon, you know what? I just got a text, and it says basically, you know, and it's a good point, because it'll end up turning into a dang on reality show.
No, it won't. And even if it did, it's good for
yes,
the public.
Would. Yeah.
All right, you must have got
in the middle of a major decision, they want to stop and have commercial breaks. Or
where are you getting this shit from?
I'm just saying, man. Yeah, that's what it eventually will turn into. I say leave it out. Really, leave it out. You know what? These guys, these women, these guys, they are basically anonymous to everybody, you know, except for when they make a major decision and they say, well, Judge Scalia did this and Judge Thomas said this. Most people don't know who they are or what they stand for, whatever. And it's,
well, now it's time for them to wake
leave
up.
Them alone. No, it's not time for them to see who they are and put cameras in there. I don't
All
think
right.
so.
Where are you getting this crap from? You must have been
talking
about
it. Why it's got to be crap?
Please, will you stop it?
What I'm talking about is crap. I would fight Joe in the mountains now. And take your goat.
Come on, my sheep know who you are. Come on.
Yes, Bernie.
Hey, them guys in the black suits come visit you last night. You sure don't sound like yourself.
They must
don't have. Sound, yeah, don't sound like yourself today, man.
Look, I was wearing the black suit. Hey.
Yeah.
No, man.
Sunshades and limos and...
Yeah. Guys with goggles on at 12 midnight.
Yeah.
Knocking on his
yeah,
door.
You know what? You can try and beat me up all you want to today. I don't care. I got the power. And this is me. Yeah.
Well, go stop yourself.
Look, I don't have TBS. I don't have TBS, okay? Mine is good and swollen. So now, what you got to say?
Zap yourself.
Uh-huh. Well, y'all, you see, and that's it. And then Joe say yes.
I just can't believe you saying that. You know, like I said, hey, you had to get a phone call. A visit. Or one of them little ugly letters with tied to a rock or something come through you one the last night. What was it, Eric?
I just really believe they should be putting cameras in the Supreme Court. I really don't believe that.
Okay.
We all up in arms about the cameras we know we know about now. There's no one talking about putting cameras in the
court. Good God.
That's right. It's Friday, and that's the way it's going to be.
Somebody give me the zapper, will you?
All right. Anyway, so if there's nothing else about that one, we're going to move on.
hold on. I got a question, Eric.
What?
I got a question. What about law enforcement? Law enforcement.
What about law enforcement?
You think they need to, besides just having cameras in their car, you think they need to have like the little cameras hooked up to them, like the quarterback have hooked up to him?
Hell yeah.
Like the little helmet cam. Yeah, I do too, man.
Yeah, I can say
I think all law enforcement should have that.
But I mean, not just look. Now I know y'all finna get on me again. Not just for the citizens' protection, for the police protection too, though. You know, because some people jump on the police.
Yeah, some people,
and you know, like this. In fact, there was an instance here in Texas, not too far from Elander, where a guy shot a dog, and you know, everybody's up in arms talking about he shouldn't have shot the dog. The officer, he felt threatened. You know, Kat may have heard of this.
I'm with you, Vernon. They got to him last night. Somebody paid this guy a visit.
Hell.
They came in a group of all of them wore goggles. They took out their flashlight. That's why he was playing flashlight, because they took out the flashlight, beamed his eyes, made him forget everything that made sense, and now he's talking this shit today.
Oh, no, they slid in that tank.
I'm going to be talking to me like that. I don't know what's going on. I wear the black suit on this show.
You see what I'm saying? He's flashlighting me.
Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so I do. Let's go on and get on to the topic, man, because, you know, they're trying to rat me, yeah. But, yeah, and when the guy shot the dog, he was serving a warrant, and no one answered the front door, so he went in the back of the house, and two dogs was running toward him. Now, everybody said, well, he should have tased him, and this and that. Yeah, he was at the wrong house, but hell, he knew he was at the wrong house. You got two German shepherds running toward you, talking about they friendly. I don't blame him. I would have put a cap in him, too. He didn't kill it. He wounded the dog. You know, I'm sorry. But everybody's up in arm right here. He shouldn't have done it. He should have thought of something. When you got two dogs coming at you, one in full speed, you ain't thinking about they may be friendly.
If you're at the wrong house, you deserve to get your fucking leg chopped off.
Well, no, Joe. He didn't know it was the wrong house.
Well, that's his problem.
You know how they serve warrants and they go by the last known address?
It doesn't matter. They made the mistake. They're not supposed to make those kind of mistakes. They have a responsibility towards the citizens. If the fucking dog is going to bite his ass off, let the dog bite his ass off. If he was going to issue a legitimate warrant, that's a different thing.
No.
I'm disagreeing with you. I'm disagreeing with you, Joe.
Okay.
This guy is doing his job. He's doing what he has been told to do from higher powers than himself. So only thing he's doing is doing his job. Why does he deserve to let a damn dog bite him?
Because he was on the wrong property.
I'm sorry. I forgot, Kate.
He didn't know that.
That's his problem. What you're using is a Nuremberg excuse. Hitler told me to do it. Fuck that.
No. I'm sorry. And here's the other big thing everybody's upset about. There was a terminally ill child around the corner of the house. So when he shot at the dog, everybody was like, well, what if he would have hit the kid? Yeah, what if the dogs would have bit him? Whatever. I'm with the cop. Put a bullet in that behind. And I love dogs. I do. So for all y'all talking about, I'm a dog animal hater, get it straight. I love dogs.
Well, let them
It becomes between me and the dog. Hey, the dog getting a bullet. I'm sorry.
If somebody made a mistake, the people who aren't, the citizens should not have to pay. It should be the people who made the mistake.
Here's the thing about this, and I just thought about it. You know, with all this going on about these damn dogs, right, now they want to protect these two German shepherds. What about all them innocent pit bulls they putting down? Because why? Somebody, a few people trained their dogs wrong, so now the pit bull has a bad rep, and now you can't have a pit bull. So if he would have shot a pit bull.
Too.
See, if he would have shot a pit bull, then nobody would have said anything. But since these were German shepherds, and they don't have such a bad reputation, you know, we can't be shooting the dogs. I'd be damned. A dog run up to me, and I think he's about to bite me. I'm sorry. He's getting it. That's all I'm saying. That's right, Joe.
Never mind. Do we have another topic today?
Look, they're talking about. Oh, he could have ran. Yeah, right. Really, half the people who saying it probably can't outrun a damn snail. There's no talking about outrunning a dog. Yeah. So, really. But anyway, that's enough of that. Woosah.
You know we're in a world full of tree huggers and. An animal lover now.
Though, yeah, right? You know, animals' lives are more valued than human lives in today's society. We already realize that, so, yeah, it's all good. You know what I mean?
I know you don't smoke weed.
It's okay.
I know this, but I'm going to get you high today.
That's right.
Because Friday,
mm-hmm.
you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
That's right.
Well, damn.
What?
I want to hear what the chicks bring to the table before it's fucking Christmas.
Hey, what? Joe's a mean guy today. What's wrong with him, Eric?
It looked like somebody did, look like somebody came to visit him, if anything. All right, anyway. Or let's get to it, y'all. What do you bring to the table, part two? That's what we're going to talk about now. We done talked about the dogs and the Supreme Court and all that good stuff. So let's go on to talk about what people came here to hear today. All right, y'all. Tuesday. That's when we had part one. Tuesday. You know, we discussed a lot of different characteristics that a person may bring to the table as far as bringing themselves in a relationship. So today we're going to take a look at both that aspect of it and the traditional part. So what do you require your potential partner to bring to the table? You know, and do men understand the importance of this question more than women? Those are the two questions I'm putting out there right now. You know, what do you require your partner to bring to the table, and do men understand this better than women? So let's go at it, gentlemen. Let's have it. There he is, Joe.
You know what,
go
man?
For it.
You know what?
What?
You know what, Eric? Now, you sitting back with that taser. And then you're going to throw a question out like that. Did you know it's going to start a goddamn war today?
Yeah.
You know it's going to start a war today, man.
Mm-hmm. Wait till lady gets
you.
Know
what? Look, man, I'm telling you, I went back, and these aren't just random questions, because I actually went back and listened to Tuesday's show. And as I was listening,
yeah.
to these are the questions that actually came up from what was said about on Tuesday's show. So I think these are some of the questions that need to be, you know, clarified a little bit more. That's
we
all.
Need to resolve it today, huh?
Yeah. So once again, do men understand the importance of this question more than women? And what do you want do you really know what you want your potential partner to bring to the table? Oh, I got some good questions today, y'all. So go ahead, Joe. I'm giving you the first shot at it.
Again? All right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I bring trust, understanding, empathy. I treat the woman the way she treats me. All she has to do is be relatively intelligent, relatively good looking, relatively good in bed, be somebody that I can trust, and you can be my girlfriend as long as you can respect my principles, you understand what I'm about, and when I show vulnerability, you don't shrink like a shrinking violet. Very simple, done in less than 30 seconds. I doubt if anybody else can do that, what I just did.
Uh-huh. Really?
Yeah.
That's it?
It's profound in its simplicity. Wait till they get on the line and I question them and I hold them down to the fire. Let's see if they can be as succinct as I can. Let's see.
Oh, okay. All right. What about you, Vernon? What you think? You think men understand this a little bit better? The question a little bit better?
Yeah, for one, because I'm going to say this, I'm going to probably piss somebody off that's listening out there, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. Most women, they want one thing one minute, and they want another damn thing the next minute. Most of them, you always changing. They may go in saying they want one thing, but as the relationship grows and get older, and all of a sudden, they done talked to their friends and read these damn books and stuff, then they want something else. Then you got to bring something else to the table.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
That's the way I feel about it. That's the way I see it.
That's the way you see it? And you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because that was another one of the questions. All right, ladies, before I get to asking all these questions, where y'all at out there? 347-838-8622. Bring it on. The guys sitting here waiting, they say they want to hear what y'all got to say, and y'all been hearing what we had to say for the longest. So bring it on. As y'all say, stir the pot, bring it on. All right,
hey,
Miss Lady, you listening? We waiting on you.
Hey,
Yeah, bring your badasses on the line today.
Nobody's here
for me to insult.
You know, and you don't, someone may have, you know, you can't be saying that, huh?
Oh, yeah, like they don't have badasses.
Is it 3 o'clock? Oh, yeah, lady in her appointment right now. You don't get her.
No, I'm smelling a broomstick circling around the phone line up there in the stratosphere. No, she's around.
Oh, Lord. See, boy, I tell you, y'all just something else. Hold on for a minute.
Oh, we got somebody.
Black Cat from Austin. What's going
on?
There
we go. First one.
Hey, Eric. That cop shouldn't have shot that dog. Are you crazy?
Okay. All right. I'm with the cop. I'll put a bullet. He didn't kill the dog. That's the thing. He didn't kill it. He just wounded it. The dog going to be okay.
Well, there was a case in Austin. The same thing happened. There was a domestic call and for domestic violence, and the people who called gave the wrong address, so they went to this guy's house, and he was in his house, the dog was in the yard, he came out when he heard the dog bark, someone came in the yard, and it was just a little dog, and the cop shot that dog and killed it. No, that German Shepherd was shot in the back of the neck. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what? Okay. If a dog, you know what, little dogs can be just as bad as them big, damn big dogs, but anyway. All right, so I love dogs, y'all.
Cannot,
don't get wrong, but I would have shot him.
I cannot believe you, as a black man, are supporting police brutality against dogs.
What did you just say?
What the hell that got to do with anything?
I'm telling you
what
she
said.
Not a damn.
What is it?
Okay, that's what that got to do with it. Not a damn thing. You around here playing with me like that? No, no, she didn't go there. Oh, my goodness.
Now
all right, let me try. What? What'd you say, Joe?
He has a good point. If there's anybody in this country who has to be very, very aware of governmental oppression, it's the Indians and black people. But I'm going to...
Okay. Let's bring somebody else in. Renee, how you doing, darling? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing great, you guys. How is everybody doing?
I'm doing fine. They done made me trigger happy today.
I'm just listening to y'all.
My middle name must be Michael.
Hilarious. Look, I agree with Eric. The dog should have went down. Sorry.
Thank you.
Dog should have went down. And when it comes to a police officer and you're protecting the service and you happen to go to the wrong address, that could happen. It's just part of the job. So, you know, he got to protect himself. He's lucky the dog. If it had been me, the dog would have got killed. Sorry. I also run over squirrels when they cross my path.
So if a SWAT team shows up at everybody's houses here on their line, on this line, because of a bad tip, and they rip through the door and they rip through your possessions, have you slammed down to the ground?
I'm not saying they wouldn't have to pay for it. I'm just saying if it's between me and the dog, and it's my life against his, the dog would have went down. Sorry.
Can you believe this, Joe?
Can you believe
what you're hearing?
It would have been
down. Unreal.
No, wait.
It was an accident. It wasn't purposely done. It was an accident.
Okay, Joe, what's the difference? What's the difference in the U.S. troops getting deployed? In Iraq looking for weapons of mass destruction when they knew wasn't no damn weapons of mass destruction was there?
Wait a minute. Hold on, everybody, wait a minute.
It's not like that, man. We're going way to the right here.
Anyway, I'm
just trying to put a comparison there.
Okay, well, I'm going to put it this way. Three say the dog should have got it.
The dog should have got it.
All right, so it's over with. The dog got shot in the back of the neck. He going to survive. You know, and we are, like I said before, I love dogs, but the dog would have got it, so. Hey, if anybody, they should have shot Bush and Cheney. And Cheney shot somebody else in the face, so it don't even matter. So let's go ahead and get back to what we were talking about. And that's about, what do you bring to the table,
part two?
Right. What TV is that, man?
I was going to call up today and say that men have to put up with women being irrational and hysterical, but after listening to what you and was it Vernon just said and Renee, the irrational stance that y'all have just taken about somebody coming to the wrong pr- uh, pr- property and killing a dog or shooting to kill is just astounding to me. I think it's the most irrational position that you could take considering today's climate of the government intrusion into our lives. That's just
okay.
Me. I was going to call in and be funny, but I'm just astounded. I really am.
Fucking background noise, bro.
It wasn't purposeful.
Somebody's television or something.
Sorry, I'm at work, you guys.
I could have told you that. I could tell you what was going on, but I left that alone. But,
so where were you really working? Maury Povich show?
I'm at work, man.
Look, here's my question. You know what? It's unfortunate that the dog got shot, Kat. And yes, you know, the guy went to serve a warrant, and it was the wrong address because usually they go by the last, address on file.
No, those people had lived in that house for 9 years.
He had the wrong address. So somebody gave him the wrong address. But that's not the point. The point is the guy,
the point. It is.
No.
It is the point that they had the wrong address. They should have done their due diligence
He was trying to do his diligence.
You all are absolutely wrong. All they had to do was find out who owned that property and call the owner of the property on the telephone. They have no right to go to people's house without confirming that the people live there first. There's utility records that they have.
Did he knock on the door, Kat?
Apparently he did knock on the door, but the
He knocked on the door. They did not answer the door, right? And then two dogs come running at you. What the hell are you going to do?
That's not what happened. See, you're wrong. He went around to the side of the house. That woman was a dog trainer. The dogs were in a gated yard. He opened the gate, and he went in the yard in the back of the house, which you know down here, a lot of people just put the fence around their backyard. They don't put a fence around their front yard. And when he opened that gate in the backyard, which was their private sanctuary, he had no right to go back there. He could have left a note on the door for them to contact him.
Right.
And the dogs wagged their tail and ran up to him. They were friendly dogs. I'm telling you, if someone came here and killed my dog, there would be hell to pay for that.
Second of all, let's wrap this thing up. As a police officer, he has the right to go in your yard.
There's two questions here. I'm going to keep interrupting everybody until we get back to the point of the topic of the show. The thing is that I'm for a cop killing a dog if the dog is coming after them and the cop does not know that if the dog is friendly or not or is going to bite them. I don't like cops, but I've already said it on this show. I'm for a cop doing that. If the cop has made a mistake or if their superiors have made a mistake, they're on the wrong property. And now Kat has introduced this particular aspect I didn't know about. He actually went into the backyard, further intrusion on their private property, and killed the dog. Somebody's got to pay. It shouldn't be the dog, and it shouldn't be the owners of the dog, and the cops are wrong. Either they pay or the superiors pay, because we as citizens have to be insulated from their mistakes. I hope now we can get back to the freaking topic, because I think I answered both questions. Let's get on with the show. Because I'm going to get fucking pissed and zapped all goddamn day.
Okay. Now, the dog survived. Move on.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Now, questions. The questions. All right. Here we go. Do men understand the question, the question better? Do men understand what you bring to the table better than women? Now, we have two women on the line, and we have two men on the line. So that is the question right now. Who wants to
let me do the question, because, again, this we've already spent an hour. We only have an hour left.
Let me do the question.
Huh?
We got as much time as I wanted to be left.
Let's go. So we're going to go in overtime then.
That's right. We're going in overtime.
All right.
So what do you require your potential?
Oh,
what do you require your potential partner to bring to the table? And do men understand the importance of this question more than women? That is the question. The two questions.
All right, let me ask Renee, because I want to keep this, because I gave my answer in less than 30 seconds.
Uh-huh.
Renee, what do you bring to the table specifically? If you were single and you were out there in the dating scene, what do you think you would bring to the table that would be valuable? What?
Oh, man.
Well, I think in the whole scheme of things, I would say I bring supporting, loving friendship and honesty and a Christian value to a relationship.
Okay. And what do you expect from your man?
I expect him to be honest and faithful and loving and kind and supportive and not too emotional.
Okay. So if you met, you want to continue, Eric, or what?
No, that's
oh,
it.
Well. No, I'm saying she said a little emotional.
Yeah,
a little.
Little emotional.
Not too emotional. A
not
little.
Oh, okay. So you don't want an emotional man. You just want a tiny emotional man.
Yeah, I want somebody that can support me when I'm having a moment, and you know, give me a hug and show a little tenderness and kindness.
But what if he's having a moment? What if he's having a moment? Then what?
Okay, if he's having
he's
a moment,
on his own?
I'm supportive. No, I
huh?
sure I'm supportive. I'm supportive.
Oh, but okay, you supportive, but you want him to be a little emotional with you.
No, I mean, if he needs that, I'm there.
But suppose he does it at the same rate a woman does, because, you know, a woman gets all kinds of upset about broken nails, about shows on TV, about the weather, maybe hormonal things. In other words, women go to men almost every day for some kind of support. Now, suppose the man... Now, suppose you found a man who is relatively attractive, relatively intelligent, relatively interesting, but you find that he's got a little bit too much emotional.
Wait a minute. You know what, Joe? You know, it's unfair for us to ask Renee these questions. Renee has been married for 20-plus years, right? But let's bring Ebony in, because Ebony is a single woman.
Oh, let's get her.
Yes, and let's bring her in. All right, y'all, the lady I'm about to bring in now, she's calling from the UK. She has her own show, and she always brings it straight. And here she is, Miss Ebony Empress.
Mr. Talk, what are you on tonight? Oh, I don't know, whatever you're drinking. I need to have some. Oh, my God. Hi, everyone. Hope you're
yes,
good.
Ebony.
You're sounding well. Mm-hmm. Good topic. I like the topic. What did you want to know?
Eric, you right. into the interrogation or me?
Well, you know what, Joe, since you just got to go where to go ahead, Joe.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, UK.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You know, y'all have this special relationship, so you go right ahead, Joe.
Oh,
I hop
do?
In. I need
we
to
do?
Hop in.
You,
all right.
You know,
you already. Okay. You're finding a man attractive, right? You like attractive men. You like intelligent men. You like men who are not boring. So you found this particular guy, right?
Yeah.
So now, what is it about him, other than those three characteristics, that you want him to bring to the table? Make
apart
it succinct, please.
Oh, God. Dude. Oh, all right, I'm just reading what someone's saying in the chat room, and it's quite funny. It's making me laugh. Okay,
yeah,
someone who's prepared to move to the UK. Okay, all right. So, I like someone who's emotionally intelligent, but what's really important is that person has a huge amount of integrity, honesty, humor. Humor is so important to me. And the ability to laugh at themselves. And I think some people can't do that. They're so quiet.
Okay. What else?
They're so null. Very good with money, financially, competent, able to lead, very important.
Able to lead. Go ahead.
Yeah, to be a leader in their home and, you know, to know where they're going so that we
yes, the goal
you know,
that you've
we know where
before,
we're going.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I need someone who can lead and who can lead themselves as well. And they don't need to be super perfect or whatever. I love all the imperfections and the flaws.
Uh-huh.
They've got to be great in bed. Sorry, Joe.
Okay.
Yes, they need to be good in bed.
Okay.
And
sorry, Joe.
Somebody give me the zapper, because he deserves that one. Okay. Somebody's been talking about me too much, Lebanon. You know, the libido thing, you know? Okay.
Yeah, okay. So, but, you know, I can look over a little libido. I think if all the other things are working well, and I think as well, you know, it's that thing of, can I wake up to you in the morning, look at you and still love you and want to be with you every single day of my life until I die? That is the greatest thing. And, you know, because we keep changing, we keep evolving, and I think it is that someone just has to appeal to everything about you, because there's so many things that can go wrong
well,
in a relationship
succinct,
all the
though.
Time.
Because we still have other people on the line. We only have about an hour, maybe 2 hours left. So you want somebody who is, like I've said, intelligent, has good humor, isn't boring, good in bed, which is good, okay. And, okay, you want to wake up and find out that they're, you know, somebody you're going to, you know, be with for the rest of your life. However, you don't even know that. The thing is, you mentioned the leader. Now, you've got this guy. So far, he's okay. Maybe he's even great. Suppose he wants to take you where you don't want to go.
Like?
Like, for example, you two, let's say, are in a relationship. Now, he wants to take you to a different section of the UK because he's got a good job over there.
Yeah.
He wants you to come with him. Are
you
going to
go? Yeah, I would go. I would go. Because, you know, I'm a traveler. I love traveling. I actually... Mm-hmm.
So you would uproot yourself to go live... You would uproot yourself from London to go live in Kensington.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No problem.
All right.
You know, I don't have that area.
So,
I really don't.
Let me ask this question.
To lead, that means you would... How many decisions would you allow him to have before you said no?
How many decisions would
I
allow
him? Yeah, in other words, what particular areas of life? If you wanted to go to do the same thing every Friday night by going bowling, that's his thing. He loves to go bowling every Friday. Would you go bowling with him every Friday?
I'd go bowling with him every Friday, but I said emotionally intelligent, right?
Yeah.
So you know that if you do something all the time, you know, too much of the same thing,
it's
in the
boring,
end, it's going to be pretty boring. So if he's a smart guy, he'll know to mix it up, chop it up, and ask me for my suggestions about where I think we might want to go together. And then we make a decision and we go there. It, you know, leadership
so
is not about dictating. It's about having understanding yourself.
Yes, and being able to accommodate the other person when it deserves to be. Okay, what do you bring to the table?
I think I bring a huge personality. I think I'm fun, loving, outgoing. I'm also intelligent and smart and very sexy too. What else can I say?
All right. Well, I'm telling you, about to get all kinds of marriage proposals.
Should have gave a hand for that ear.
Why? Because she said she was attractive and she was sexy.
The woman told the truth.
Okay.
No, everybody can judge for themselves. Let me see. Wait a minute. Ebony, on your page, do you have a picture of yourself running in the marathon or in marathon?
Yeah, on my
yes, she does.
Okay,
yes,
so everybody can go look and see her sexy appeal.
That was a year ago. That was over a year ago now. That's really
serious. Let me just question out there, because Joe finna to make it
sport
crazy.
Sport is a good thing, actually.
Huh?
Sport is an... I'm saying sport ability, you know, if you're a sporty person, that actually is quite an important thing, because sometimes you might have a partner who's not sporty and not interested in working out whatsoever. The guy I'm dating at the moment, he really isn't sporty, but he keeps himself in shape. You know, he does the, you know, his little bench presses on there, but he's not a runner. He's not interested in running. And I'm absolutely fine with that. So, you know, I don't need you to be a sports person. I need you to want to look after yourself and keep yourself in good shape. But, you know, the running is my thing, and I totally...
Okay, Eric, you wanted to say something, right?
Yes, I sure did. Check this out. Here's a question, another question. Are our expectations for potential partners greater than we bring to the table? So, in other words, do we expect them to bring more to the table than we're willing to bring?
Well,
yeah, we do.
Well,
it's a human thing.
Somebody said,
That's a good.
Was that Kat? Yeah.
No, I think that was. Okay.
No, that was.
Well, go ahead. I thought that was Renee.
It was Kat. No, it was Kat. I could hear that.
Okay. Well, go ahead, Kat. Explain.
I think that when you're single, you have unrealistic expectations of the other person, and you expect them to be to. I've always said this on this show, and it hasn't like sunk into your head yet, that we bring into a marriage, into a relationship, all those things we didn't get as children. So we don't even know we're carrying this baggage around. We don't know it until later in life. We're always working out our childhood, and we bring that to the table. I mean, we have to, if you really want a successful relationship, you have to look at what happened to you as a child and how you're trying to get that out of other people. Because there's something that you didn't get as a child, and you're always trying to get that from a person as an adult. So we're always recreating the things that we're creating scenarios, hoping that that person will be an actor in this play that we've made up. If you don't believe me, go into therapy. You'll learn all about it.
Yeah, what you're talking about is transactional analysis.
Kat, you know, Kat, you always says, and I remember this because you always said, the only thing a woman needs to be able to do in a relationship, so I bring to a relationship, is good sex and being able to cook. You say that's all she needs to bring, and you still believe that?
Because if you can do that, you can work on the other things. You learn in a marriage. You change in a marriage. You've got to be willing to change with each other, and in a marriage, you have to sift through the things that are worth fighting over and the things that aren't worth fighting over and the things that are worth working for and the things that aren't worth working for. Yeah, I think that you have to have your needs met, which are food and sex, and then when you get those things met, the other things seem to work themselves out. I'm serious. I'm telling you this because I've lived it, and, well, maybe it worked for me. It doesn't work for everybody, but men like
you know what,
men like
what you're saying, Kat. I think what you're saying, Kat, you know, is interesting and also true to some degree, but you know, you do have, you know, with the number of people getting sick and all the rest of it, you do have people who fall out that net of being able to deliver sex, right? I mean, I was talking with Steve, the mad Steve, last night and his gang about the same question, and their point was, you know, the marriage is over when there is no sex, or the sex cannot be the way it was when up to your expectation. And my thing is, that's easy to say when you're not in a serious relationship, but do you really walk away from your family and everything that you've invested because someone is not well enough to give you what you need? And so I think it's always great to have that up there as, okay, well, you know, you're good at sex, you know, it's great when you're healthy, but, you know, what about when you're not able? What about when you've got a low libido, you know?
You know what?
What do you do then?
I am going to find you.
You know what, Ebony? Look, you know, look, here we go, Ebony. I like that. And Kat, I understand what you're saying about the sex part, but, you know, it comes a time in a relationship as you two grow, you know, get old, and it just comes a time when you get older, period, to where, although you want good sex, that's fine. You know, everybody, who doesn't want mind-blowing sex, you know what I mean? But there does come a time
to
where...
That's not what I'm talking about.
But there comes a time... Hello, wait, can I say finish, please? All right. It comes time when, you know, sex is not the deal-breaker, you know, in a relationship that it used to be. You understand what I'm saying? As you get older, it sex is still good, but you're not concentrating that much on sex, if you get where I'm trying to go with this.
Let me try to take over for Kat before she... I think I know what she's talking about. She's not talking about just the physical aspect of sex. She's using sex as the instrument of the expression of love while you're in the bedroom. Am I right?
Okay. Oh.
I'm not talking about mind-blowing sex that you do it with trapezes and, you know, all kinds of sex toys. That's not what I'm talking about. I know, listen, I'm older than you. I know that sex changes. It becomes, you rely more and more on companionship. But when you start out a relationship and you have a good sexual relationship, you can use that intimacy, and you don't want to carry the intimacy you gain during sex helps you deal with problems outside of the bedroom. It makes you more intimate with each other. And there does come a time, and in my life this has happened, where you can't have sex for a health reason. I understand all that. But at
Go ahead and finish.
But it's some, I forgot now, I'm old, I have brain farts. But it's so,
okay.
I was just going to say that.
You were talking about intimacy could wipe over the problems outside of the bedroom, because if the problems outside of the bedroom are causing some sort of rift, you can use the intimacy in the bedroom to try to overcome that.
If people get to the point where they can't have sex and they're going to split up over it, that's not what they're splitting up over. They're splitting up over the fact that they didn't have much before they couldn't have sex, and that's their excuse to end the relationship.
And the lack of intimacy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I understand that.
Am I still in?
But here's my question right here. Here's my question right now. Here's what I have to say. If that's the case, Kat, then couldn't sex at the point, if you're having troubles outside of the bedroom, instead of sex helping, couldn't sex probably cause a bigger problem because you use sex to cover up what the actual problem is?
Well, I think men and women view sex. I would never use sex to cover up problems. I would.
Well, you may be doing it. You may be doing it intentionally, but unintentionally, isn't that a possibility?
I can't even comprehend using sex to cover up other things. I don't know what you mean.
I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you some, Kat. I do, but your relationship is based on more than just a sexual relationship.
I didn't say it was only based on that. We were talking,
I understand. I understand what you're saying, and I'm agreeing with you. But what I'm also saying is that when you're bringing, originally the topic was what do you bring to the table. So what I'm saying is that is part of being in a relationship with somebody. You have to go through the ups and downs in a relationship. And I think what Eric is trying to say is that when you have, you're going to do more. I mean, people cover up things when you don't have a sexual relationship. Then when you have sex, you could be covering up, you know, things that are going wrong in your relationship, and that's why the relationship could end. So I think if you look at a relationship as being more than just a sexual relationship and look at it as being a friendship, and you're enjoying each other's company, and the sex is an added plus to that. It's not the whole thing. It's just added to the friendship or the relationship that you have built upon over the years.
I don't comprehend that at all. It does not register.
Wow.
Okay. Let me get in there. What Kat is, what Renee is basically saying is the same thing you're saying, Kat, is that people use, let's say, for example, there are certain rifts going on within the relationship. People are annoyed at each other for some reason. Maybe they don't actually communicate it well. They're not communicating it directly. But there are undercurrents of tension in the relationship. The sex can kind of smooth things over, because if the sex is good and if there's still an exchange of feelings within intimacy, within the bedroom, then people can somehow realize that even though they're having problems, they still care for one another. As a result, they may become a little bit more tolerant of the tension. But if that tension cannot be tolerated, then the intimacy dies, the sex dies, the marriage dies. Did I kind of sum it up, or did I?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's exactly,
I think,
what
that
I'm
is
saying.
True. Yeah, because I think when things start going wrong, often the first place that people go in a relationship to kind of sabotage things will be to the sex, because that's intimacy, and that's where you're showing your feelings for that person. But if you're not feeling good about the other person, it's hard to be intimate and to be authentic in that intimacy, because I'm kissing you, hugging you, being emotional with you, showing you an affection, and I really hate you because you're not doing something that I agree with, or I think is right for us, or is working out in some way, or you've wasted our money, or you've done something. But whatever it is, it will hit at my emotions, and maybe that's why people go to sex, because that's where we're most intimate. So men can kind of separate it as an act and say, well, you know, I'm just in there, you know, getting my rocks off, whatever. But for women, sex is much more emotional. And so, like, you know, if I'm not feeling good for you, I might find it a struggle to be playing that intimacy game with you.
Another thing, Ebony, men can do that, separate themselves more easily than women, but that's pre-relationship. Within a relationship, within a marriage, we do express our emotions and allow our emotions to be involved in the sex act via intimacy. So I think we should distinguish pre-relationship and post-relationship men's attitudes towards sex, please. Thank you very much.
I thought the thank you was for Joe, but okay.
Oh, another thing. Somebody accused me the other day of not being able to listen. I think I do listen to people. I just want to throw that out there.
Oh, okay. Why?
I don't know if it was you. Was it you?
No.
I thought it was Renee.
I wouldn't have accused you of that.
I thought it was Renee.
Oh, okay. Why would Renee?
Well, I accuse you of it, damn it.
Oh,
so actually, I agreed with you. Remember, I was agreeing with you. So, no, I didn't say that.
Somebody accused me of that. And it was either, and it wasn't Kat, or it wasn't, all right, never mind.
Thank you.
Society,
okay.
Never mind.
Here's another question for the Cube crew. Do we concentrate more on the materialistic side of this question instead of just the characteristics? You know, as far as what do you bring to the table?
Women do.
Women do?
Well, I think there's a difference. It's important.
What, materialistic?
It's important because, no, not materialism, but it's important to know how you're going to survive financially if you're going to get together as a unit, because marriage was always about bringing two kind of economies together. So you, as families, you were bringing your money together, and that was helping you to have a stronger financial infrastructure. So if I got together with you and there was nothing you could bring financially, and there was not, you know, and I don't earn that much money either, this question is still going to be, how do we intend to make this a unit and financially be able to survive together? So finances are going to come up. Money's going to come up because, you know, how are we going to pay the bills if we're living somewhere? Where are we going to live? How are we going to pay for where we live? You know, does the house belong to us? Does it belong to me? It's a question. It will always be a question. So it doesn't mean that people have to get hung up on that question, but it's going to be important if we want to move into each other's spaces, right?
What you're talking about is when the relationship has already started, or when you're just about to enter into a relationship. The materialism that women get attached to is, what is he doing even before I think of him as relationship material? In other words, if I'm a
has
person...
Has he got a job?
If I'm a quiet you. If I'm a person who lives in the mountains with my sheep, and I like living with my sheep. I'm not talking about doing the sheep like Vernon always implies. But, but if I like it, and I'm only making $30,000 a year, but I love the outdoors. I love the freedom. I used to be in the rat race, but now I'm not in the rat race. And I meet some chick who's making $100,000 a year. She likes me. She might even fall in love with me. But in order for her agenda to be met, she is not going to seriously consider me as relationship material, because materialistically, she wants somebody to contribute to the potential relationship of bringing in $50,000, $60,000 at minimum, because she's making $100,000. So materialism is very high on the agenda of chicks, a hell of a lot more than women, to answer Eric's question.
Is it materialism or is it survival?
How can it be survival at $100,000
a year? Well, come on. And it's about... You know, you can say that if it's $100,000, how many women do you really know that earn that kind of money right now?
Well, theoretically, a lot.
Right, okay, theoretically in your... Yeah, okay. But, you know, we share. The idea is about sharing. And is that person prepared to share? That's one of the questions you've got to have on the table as a guy. Are you willing to share your income with me? You know, because there is going to be some sharing in there. Some women are going to say, ain't nothing going on but the rent, meaning, you know, you got to have your JOB. So if you haven't got a JOB, there's no point talking to me. You know, so it depends on
I just
you
gave
know,
you the situation. Let's say somebody's making $30,000. And he's not me. He's not somebody who's in the mouth. But he's somebody who has the idea that he might want to get out of the rat race. He might be like...
Nothing wrong with that. If you share the same values, nothing wrong with that.
Of course, if you share the same values. These are if words. These are nice new age, what I would do type of things. Realistically, a woman making $100,000, a female attorney, making $100,000 a year is not going to go for a blue-collar worker making $30,000 or a white-collar worker making $30,000 because her agenda, her primary goal is to find somebody, not who is sweet, sensitive, and nice, but who's got the ducat first. Just
let me ask this question, then. You know, Joe, that is a possibility.
Yeah. If he dresses the part, you understand what I'm saying? If she really don't know and they meet, because attraction is the first thing everybody, you know, gets hooked up on, right? So if he's dressing the part, you know, they going out and whatever, and he's paying for the dates, and, you know, that the conversation hasn't come up about jobs or what have you, or he's been very vague, I mean, that could actually happen.
I guarantee you that won't happen. What is on a chick's mind is status and money more than anything else. Because if she did, and that's a good point you brought up, what would happen if the girl went out with a guy and she starts falling for him, and the guy is, you know, not really, he's not giving a false front. He's actually presenting himself as he is. So he's taking her to places that he can't afford, right? And he's taking her to places that he likes as well as she likes. If she is in a particular corporate structure, he's not in that corporate structure. He is considered below her by everybody in society. She will not allow her feelings to grow for him the vast majority of the time. I don't want to hear anybody saying, but Joe, you're generalizing. Yeah, I am. Okay? Because you can look, again, I keep saying this, look around to your friends and families and girlfriends, and you will see them dating always up, almost always up, because somebody's going to come back to me. And especially black chicks are going to say, well, you know, I married a truck driver, and I knew him for years. He's my high school sweetheart. Some chick did say that. In white society, you're not going to get that.
Well, I'll give you an example. I've got a girlfriend, yeah. She's dating a guy who, well, she won't date a guy who is her neighbor, right? And the reason why she won't is because he has this shift job. He seems to work all hours. He is available for the odd date or whatever. But, you know, I think in her eyes, he's just not good enough. Although he is working. You know, I think, yeah, in her mind, she thinks she deserves someone who's of a greater status. I mean, I don't know. Most of the time she speaks to men on the internet, and I'm like, what the hell? You know, you don't even know who those guys are, but you know the person next door. And he's a good guy, you know. But for some reason, he just doesn't seem to be good enough in her eyes, okay?
For some reason.
And it could be the dating up and the dating down, but they're on the same level, i.e. he's not got a lesser status than her because she's actually not working.
I just gave you the reason. When I was in college, I had more chicks interested in me when I was telling them this vague thing. When I always asked, "What do you intend to do? Or what are you doing?" and I said, "Speculator." I didn't want to elaborate more on what a speculator was. They found that not intriguing but interesting. When I got out of college, was looking for a job, was unemployed. I could tell by talking with them, they were not interested in me.
Oh.
They were interested in the potential of, because I was going to college, they found in the hardworking guy going to college, potential. After college, didn't have a job, already fulfilled my potential as having got my degree in banking and finance, but since I didn't get a job yet, I was not exactly high up on their list. So I'm telling you, and just like other men will tell, not just, when I say you, I mean not just Ebony, but any chick that comes on the line. Okay. What the reality is. And the guys here, if they're honest about what they were in their particular stations in life and the kind of women who were showing attraction, who were attracted to them at that station in life, they will tell you the same thing. If they remember, we guys tend to forget as the years go on.
So have you put that out recently, Joe, to any woman, and she given you that response, or are they all fine now with your status?
You're trying in a roundabout way to find out my status. I don't know that you know.
I'm just asking a woman how to check your status. Because you put it out there about status, so I'm asking, like, you know, I'm working for you, baby.
You think I don't know your tricks by now? I mean, Jesus, you use the back door to find out something.
You know what? You would have gone work for CIA or FBI, because it's like that. It's like that.
There you go.
No, Lord. I don't think so.
You don't want me on the FBI's roster?
No.
How about CIA?
No.
God, it's the same secret stuff going on. Now, let's not let anybody know our status, please.
Hell no. Are you kidding me? Hey, have you heard about the NSA and the rest? Okay.
You know what? Okay. Anyway, I'll ask Evan this later. But, you know, all right. So, basically, you know, originally we do have to talk about the materialistic side of of what you're bringing to the table before you really get to the characteristic part. But that's what women gonna notice first, basically, is what Joe's saying. Correct, Joe?
Oh, and I want to find out, Erica, do you agree with me or not?
No? Who said no?
I did.
Okay.
I'm Kat.
And I know
if
you
what
are,
was
and...
Joe, if what was Joe was saying was true. If most women, if he's saying most women look at status and what else?
Money.
Status and money. Then why do women marry so many losers in this country and have children by these losers?
Well, they're marrying losers who still make more money than they do. The question should be, are women in corporate America marrying blue-collar people? If they were, then I wouldn't have anything to stand on. The thing is, women almost always, 97%, and this has been going on since the beginning of time, and this has been written about in books by sociologists, marry up. They date up. And what is up? It's always based on status or money.
Yeah, but I think, Joey, what you were saying is true. You know, you'd be married now. I think that's the point. Is that what you're saying?
I'm still trying to find out if I'm married or single, what kind of job I have, how much I weigh, how tall I am. You think I don't know you by now?
Look, hold on. Let me bring Goofy in. Okay. Eight-time caller, and he's ready to rumble.
Oh, eight-time.
Come on, Goofy.
Go Goofy.
Well, let me answer. Good day, everybody. Happy Baller Friday. Let me answer Kat's question right now.
Okay.
The reason why women marry all these losers is because the women go for what they want. Just as Joe was just explaining, they didn't figure out the man for who he is. They went for what he has. And you guys got to understand that sometimes that all that lovely stuff runs out at the end. And then, you know, that's where you get the divorces. Oh, well, you can't take care of me. Then I don't want to be with you. You know, it's stuff like that. They don't believe in the vows through sickness and health for richer or poorer or all that crap. It's all materialistic now. And it's sad that this is the way the world works. But, hey, you could blame TV and Hollywood and all these other idiotic shows that are going out there teaching the young women nowadays that you need to have this, that, and this in order to get recognized in this world. That's why women marry these losers, because these women don't figure out the man that they're marrying. They just went for whatever he had. A lot of women I know love a guy with a nice haircut and a nice leather jacket. I mean, that attracts them. That gets them all boiled up and everything. Thank you.
Welcome.
Yeah, Goofy, well, do you have a nice haircut and a leather jacket?
Ebony on it today. Oh, no, let me bring it
in. Ebony one more time.
Let me bring into knowledge in onto the conversation. Welcome, brother. How you doing today?
I'm doing well, Mr. Talk. How are you, my good man?
I'm doing well also.
Good. I just wanted to sort of piggyback on what the last caller had just said. I think there's a lot of truth to that because based on my experience in dealing with women, and I've always said this, women are much poorer judges of character, of the male character, than men are of the female character. I think men have that part of it. They're pretty good at it. Women are not very good at it at all. And like Joe was saying, in reference to status and income potential, and just like the last caller said, when you start looking at the intrinsic values of a person, that's going to define whether your relationship has longevity or not. And if you get caught in what I call the window dressing, then because at some point, once you actually hook up with that person, you get past what they look like, no matter how handsome he is or how attractive he is, or how attractive she is, you get past that, you start peeling back the layers of the onion to see what you're really dealing with. Now, once you start doing that, you got to realize you're already in it. So either it's going to get better or it's going to get worse. And if you haven't done your homework from the very beginning, like women, just as an example, women love romance. However, how many women make that a requirement going into the relationship? Very few. Very few.
So true.
Very few women require romance from a man. So if you don't require it from the beginning,
I demand, damn it.
I want it. I demand it.
Okay. you two are exceptions to the rule. I'm speaking generally. If he doesn't give it to you from the beginning, then you can't be mad when he doesn't remember the anniversary or your birthday or to get you something.
No, the vast majority of women require romance. They want that door open. They want that chair pulled down.
I hold doors open for women all the time, and they'll just stand there. All that lets me know is they're not even used to being treated properly.
Those are some, but the vast majority of women, even when they broke up from a relationship, what is it that they've said? You know, and we're talking about celebrities who've made this public, so this kind of lends evidence to my argument is that I'm still looking for Prince Charming. They believe in the fairy tale. They say they're
you think
still
today's woman does so. Today's woman.
Today's
at
woman.
One time.
Absolutely.
At one time it was like that.
Absolutely.
You know.
Go ahead.
You know what?
I want to tell you that ended in the 2000s, like around 2004, that the women wanted Prince Charming. Now the women want a man with a good car. And it's got some bling that is like a trophy to when we look at women that are hot and you know
that's their romance.
Type, we call them trophies.
That's their hero.
The women kind of switched it up and look for that type of guy that has the things.
Well, their hero. That's the person who's making more than them, has more status. That's their hero. They want somebody who is Prince Charming who comes along in the white chariot, whether it's a Mercedes or it's a Buick. It's their expectation of their romantic fantasy. That romance
Let me give you this scenario, and I know most people can relate to it. A good-looking woman can be at a bus stop, and she can get action. A good-looking man can be at a bus stop and get completely ignored.
That's true.
Now, that goes back to what the gentleman was just saying.
No, brother. I think you got to take that back. There's been many times I've been in rotten-ass sweats and a tank top, and I pulled hose at the grocery store.
I said bus stop. I didn't say grocery store. Grocery store is like a nightclub.
Okay. And the point I'm trying to make, which I agree with, is that a good-looking man, even though he's looked at by women, the women aren't going to approach him or view him the same. He's still looked at as a wallet. A woman, all she has to do to get a man is apply 30 minutes of makeup in the morning, and that's about it. Because men are not interested in a woman's profession or status.
That's right.
Only if she's intelligent. And it's opposite for a woman. The higher up she's crawling, okay, through her trajectory in her career, If she's in the mailroom, she'll go out with a guy who's a little bit above the mailroom. If she's now becoming an assistant director in the same company, having worked there for 10 years, she is now going to date somebody who's definitely not in the mailroom anymore. But a guy is a guy looked at by the wallet. Okay, that's how he is judged. He is not going to be approached by women generally unless he's super good looking. And if he's super good looking and does not have the money and the status, he is bye-bye.
I don't think it's true, Renee.
You know, I want to go back to this romance thing real fast. You know what I think the biggest problem is with this romance thing? Women today have no clue what romance really is.
That's what I was trying to say.
You know, let's just put it out there. They really don't.
That's what I've been trying to say.
A lot of men have no clue either. You know, they think the thing that they watch on television and through the videos, that's romance to them because that's all they see. They don't see it around their house. They see it in their home. So, you know, I think that's one of the big issues right there. We need to really define what romance really is. And then go from there.
Well, what
yeah,
is
us oldest guys, we know
old
people.
Let me tell you,
what
romance
you
is. Some of these
yeah,
women. Hold on. Romance is Chris Brown slapping up Rihanna and then getting back with her. That's romantic. Some of these. You know,
wow. These
women don't know what romance is now. Seriously.
So tell us what romance is to you.
Shall I begin?
Okay,
for me, here's my idea of romance is when I'm dealing with a woman is my ability to do things for her without the expectation of getting anything back. I love to cook. I'd rather cook for you before I take you out to dinner. Now, I have no problem taking you out to a very nice restaurant, but at the same time, I want to show you that I'm willing to put in some time and energy to provide something for you that you're going to enjoy. Just to put it simply, I'm willing to put in the time and the energy to provide something for you that you'll enjoy. That's how I view romance.
Very nice. Now, we kind of need to hear from Goofy as well, because we, as women, we need to, like, you know, just check if you're all on the same page. So, Goofy, what's your idea? I just need to know. Come on.
Sorry. Now, what I call romance, am I on the line? Hello?
Yeah.
You're on the line. Go ahead.
Okay, what I call romance is the candlelight dinners, the long drives, you know, maybe on the, you know, a beautiful scenery, you know, that's romance. You know, giving a girl a flower when she least expects, you know. When you're at a, say, for instance, a date I took a chick out to, since I live in the Bay Area, we have San Francisco, Oakland, and where I'm from, San Jose, I call it around the world because I'll drive her from my house to San Francisco, cross the Bay Bridge to Oakland, and then we'll come back to my house. And, you know, we'll stop and we'll see, you know, the bay and, you know, the boats and, you know, little scenic areas, you know. And it's, to me, that's romantic, you know, where you're not, you know, in an infested area with a bunch of people that are talking and da-da-da-da, and you're not even enjoying each other, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When you have that, that's romantic. That's romantic to me.
Yeah, I love that, Goofy. Now, why are you single?
because
he wants to be.
I believe that one pussy is not good enough for me. That's why.
You just blew it right there, man. So
I was just like, oh, my God. No, I want to marry him.
He was so close.
I can't be perfect. Send me your details so I can marry you. And look at that.
You
blew it.
I can't be perfect
man, because that's how I get all these women to fall in love with me. They think I'm the perfect man and all this crap, and it's like, no.
See, you're
sorry.
You're faking. Because if, you know, if you were, like, honestly romancing a woman, okay, you would be focused on just that woman. You would be connecting just with that woman. It wouldn't be a case of I'm doing this and then I'm off to go shag some other chick. It just wouldn't work, because you're trying to connect with that woman's soul, and it isn't a thing that you can share with everybody. Do you know what I mean? If it becomes mass-produced, then it's not
Trust
real.
Me, I
it's
make
not,
love and, every other night. I can make love to these women, and then to them that's love.
Making love, or
the,
just having
the way
sex?
I give it to them.
Are
I'm not talking
love?
About backing out and you know, doing XXX stuff. I'm talking about love, passion. Put a rose on their skin and, you know, rub it. You know, give them love. You know,
okay.
I gave me a gift to be that person to feel the puzzle piece that's missing in their life. But yet,
wow.
I cannot, because there's so many other women that need the same help that woman just got helped with. So
yeah, I know where Goofy's coming from. I know where Goofy's coming from, because Goofy, I know exactly where you're coming from, because even though I live in Atlanta, I'm from Oakland, California, right by Lake Merritt. So California cats kind of deal with it in a different way.
Also, another thing people should know about is that Goofy knows what he's talking about, because Goofy was on the Jenny Jones show for being a player. So he knows.
Exactly.
Okay?
Uh-oh.
He's not talking like some big mouth guy.
There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with being a player. But the thing is, we're talking
about
romance.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you're going to be romantic, I think you should also be authentic. If you're in it and it's a game, it's not real. That's not real
Goofy
romance.
Goofy is
off.
Well, I can't say that. Okay.
No, it isn't. It's a game.
He could be authentic.
He'll
in the
do
game,
that,
but
he'll reproduce it for
I
the next one. And it's all about seduction. It's seduction.
I have a question for Goofy. Goofy, have you ever been in love? Like love?
Yeah.
You only
have
eyes for one woman and she just does it
for
you.
I got married one time.
Almost.
I was almost married, but it's just that, you know, once you're at that point and you're a particular person like myself, you have to look at the outside, you know, from looking on the outside, looking in, you know, you gotta evaluate. Like, is this gonna benefit me or is this gonna destroy me? And thank God I waited a little bit longer, because later on it evidently just, you know, fell apart. But if I would have jumped in and, you know, got married, you know, it would have been another divorce, you know, and it's like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to go all out, you know what I mean? But it's just, I see the way that I'm living my life. I'm happy. Sometimes I get lonely, but fuck it. Natural. One day it'll hit me, you know. One day some chick's going to knock me off my feet and take me to, you know, to happiness land or whatever the fuck. But I just have to keep riding the trail into that gap.
Wow.
Nice.
Interesting. Okay, you know what? We done heard from the guys. Ladies, let's hear what's romantic to you.
Nobody
heard. We done heard from
me.
The guys. Say what?
Nobody heard from me.
Well, Joe, we know going up to the mountains.
No. The question was about.
No. We're kind of looking at who gives the best story. So come on, Joe. Let's hear you.
I don't believe in romance. I believe romance ruins a relationship. I think romance should come after the relationship has already started. Romance is nothing but a figment of a woman's imagination about what the man can do for her, and without her having to do a goddamn thing in return. So I don't believe in romance. I don't believe in having that my role is to pick up the chick, pay for the date, bring her back home, protect her all night long, call her, find out how she's feeling, blah, 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 blah. That to me is bullshit in today's world. I would rather have a woman do that at the same time I do it for her. Being over 40, I don't take a woman out on expensive dates. They can walk with me in the park, come over to visit me, or we can go to where we've met before, or go out on inexpensive dates. And then afterwards, she can start picking up the check after about the second or third date. I am not going to spend money on a chick because I don't owe anything to anybody I don't know, to borrow a term from somebody else. Okay? Chicks to me are not that important until they prove to me they're important. I don't believe in romance. So,
Macaroni Joe.
So Joe is single. Joe is covering up some shortcoming he has. That's why he just uses his lack of romance is covering up for his fear of intimacy.
No. And that contradicts what you were saying before the other day about me. Because you were talking about how I am probably somebody who would be good in a in a relationship, and that I love women. I don't love women. I like women. I just don't like phony bullshit women.
You know what, Joe? I think that you're a tightwad after listening to you today. I think you're just
What are women? Women are tightwads. How many women spend money on their dates?
Like I said the other day, I don't have a problem paying for a date. And I believe in romance. I believe in being romantic. I believe that it is a two-way street. I don't have a problem, taking my husband out to dinner, going home, giving him a massage, a glass of wine, I don't have a problem with that. And he doesn't have a problem doing the same for me. I think it's a two-way street. I don't always think it's got to be just from the man's perspective. I do believe it's got to be just a two-way street, It doesn't bother me at all. But I do pay for dates, and my husband pays for dates, and I think the most romantic thing my husband ever did for me is he asked me every day for a year to marry him. Every single day, he would call me and ask me to marry him. That was romantic to me. I knew that he really, really wanted to be with me. So I think it's...
Well, I want to jump in this. You're in a relationship. That's different. When I was in a relationship... When I was in a relationship, I treated my chick very well. I gave her a Christmas present that for months afterwards she kept talking about, because I spent a while. I listened to her while she was describing to me what she had seen when she was at a particular store one day. I retained that information, and then when it came time for Christmas, I went down to the store, which took me a long time, searched around for the part of the store where she was in. That particular type of dress was still there, bought it for her, and she talked about it for months afterwards because she appreciated the effort and the money that I spent. So in a relationship, it's different. Prior to a relationship, fuck all that shit.
Oh, my gosh.
But do you really hear what you just said, Joe? Do you really know what you just said? You were willing to spend a lot of money at Christmas time on somebody in which you knew you would get a lot of adoration for.
I didn't say I would get a lot of adoration. I said for months afterwards she appreciated it. I didn't say I had any expectations. You're the one that's coming to
I think you did. I think you did because
Kat,
I think that it was important
you
for you.
You came to these conclusions. You also have to say I did not say anything about expectations of adoration.
I did come to that conclusion, but what about the little things she wanted?
Oh my God.
Can I ask Joe a question, Kat?
I just wanted to ask Joe a question. Like, who hurt you?
Oh, for God's
sake.
Uh-oh. I knew it was coming.
Jesus Christ. Interpret English as English people.
Somebody hurt you. Okay.
Right.
Get some therapy.
You're all right. You're all
right.
Get
some therapy, baby.
You're all
entitled
to your misperceptions. Go on. Go on. Go ahead.
I agree with you, Ebony. I so agree with you, Ebony.
Yeah. Somebody hurt you.
You're right.
I mean, you might not agree with me, and I might sound like
you're right. All of you are right. I'm agreeing with all of you.
Yeah, but Joe, here's another question.
Why are you going, but Joe? I'm agreeing with you.
Well, this thing that you bought her for Christmas that was so expensive,
hot,
are we talking $50 or
$1,000?
Yeah,
it was $5,000.
It's $50?
It was $10,000.
Man, $10,000. Holy cow.
I'm agreeing with all
Joe,
of you. I'm agreeing
why
with
you
all
agreeing?
Of
you. So can you look at it, Joe? That
I am agreeing. Why is
no,
everybody
I'm
continuing on when I'm agreeing with you?
Because it's not often they get you in this position where you're tapping.
Oh, hey. Hey, you know, we still got Vernon. We still got Eric. We still have, I forgot his name, in news. We still have everybody else here. They're all romantic. They're all fine choices for all you choice women.
But you're so
no,
fine.
You're trying to get
on
stage.
That's
it. I'm in the middle of the totem pole, so don't worry about me. Go for the top of the totem pole. Go for Eric. Go for his news. Go for Vernon. Go for his cousin when he gets here. Go for Gucci. Leave me the fuck alone, will you?
Joe said the show's over. I'm off stage.
I talk plain, simple English, and everybody's missing. Go ahead. Go ahead, Dad. Go ahead with your misinterpretation.
I think we touched the nerve. Okay, that's all I can say. I
think
good,
good. I agree with you, whatever you said.
Now,
so
I just want to know one thing.
Go on.
What's the sex good?
Oh.
Oh, you talking to me?
I'm talking to you. Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Okay.
You're
the
only
was,
one on
here. Sex, I don't know who you're talking. The sex was good for her.
Oh, it was good for her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Macaroni Joe.
Of course. Look, of course she was going bah. So I guess.
Oh.
I had a trader in for my sheet.
Oh wow.
Hey, Joe.
You see, I mean,
leave me alone, cat.
It's a general point. It's a general point from me, a general point, that often when you hear people talking about things that they will not do or, you know, in a relationship for somebody that they're sharing their time with, I always think, well, what's going on? Why would you put limitations on what you would do and what you wouldn't do? Because it's almost like you're setting it up to fail before it starts. You're actually saying that I expect you to, you know, to have an agenda and to not be connected with me on an honest basis. So I'm protecting myself up front. And that's absolutely fine, because I think if you have been hurt before, then you don't really want to put yourself out there.
You're not
in the way
dragging any more information out of me, no matter how long your dialogue
is.
Because I remember the very first time when we met months ago, you were talking about how you would not spend money at all on a man. And then when we started talking about it, then all of a sudden you came around to, yes, reciprocity, I would spend money on a man. So stop talking about what you would do, because you would not do it.
Joe, I've grown, okay? So that
in a matter of months out of just being on BTR.
Because I
my bad. I'm sorry.
Hold on,
and again,
okay.
Ebony, you're right. Kat is
no,
right, and Renee is right.
All right, We you know, we're in overtime, so we can hear you. Look, we're in overtime, so it doesn't matter, right? What we say, yeah, it do. But anyway, look, romance. Hey, look, romance. It depends on the person. To me, romance is a simple thing. It really is. You know, it's so simple. But, you know, we have these illusions of grandeur as far as what romance should be, or, you know, watching what's on television. You see, like The Bachelor and all that mess to be on with the roses.
Oh, is that a grand
illusion? It doesn't
take
all that.
Oof.
Yeah, it doesn't take all that. You know, personally, I like to cuddle, you know, rub, touch, hold hands, you know, go ride down to the beach or something. Just ride and talk. You know, heck, I even go window shopping with, you know, it don't bother me. You know, those are the little simple things that can turn a relationship, you know, that can be considered romantic. It just depends on the people. You know, it just depends on the people. Now, we have already established, don't try and get romantic during the football game. That's not working. Okay,
Super Bowl, get the fuck out the room.
But no, but you know, that's me. That's what, you know, is romantic. You know, I don't. I love cuddling. You know, I love cuddling. You know, laying her head in my lap or my head in her lap. It doesn't matter. Find an old movie on television, watching it together. Heck, even watching a girl movie. You know, just a little simple thing.
You pushing the envelope now, kid.
You know, just no. I'm just saying, it's just a little simple thing that you know.
I agree.
That makes things romantic.
Within a relationship, it's true, but before you get there, the materialistic agenda is what is ever present. Blue collar workers, middle class, upper class, do all the same thing within relationships. They do all the same thing, regardless of whether they're drinking Dom Perrier, Perignon, or they're drinking beer. They do the same thing. But the people within relationship, before they got there, before they got and formulated that relationship, it was based on status and money.
We all take trips.
We all take vacations. We all take nice luxury cruises. The thing is, who we're doing it with is dependent from the woman's agenda upon the man's status and money. You can take a man who is 5'3". He's not going to get anybody until he's a millionaire. Then all of a sudden, hey, he's downright attractive. Take a look at that guy. Was that the guy from The Plane, whatever his name was.
Tattoo.
Okay. Yeah.
Shorter than shit. But he got women who were what, 5'5", 5'6", 5'7", because of his status. If he didn't have that status,
Wait a second. He got a certain type woman, not women. You got to stop saying women this and women that. He got a certain type, a gold digger, shallow bitch. Okay, she's not going to stay with him.
Wow.
And they didn't. So welcome to the female race, Kat.
Oh.
Well, it's not me. I know a lot of women who aren't that way. My friends aren't that way.
You know what? There was a celebrity who said, "How do you keep your women? How should you keep them?" He said, "If they're from the country, keep them in the country. Don't expose them to the city lights." Because once a good-looking woman gets exposed to what she can do as a result of being good-looking, she's not looking back.
Hmm.
Yes, in blue collar and lower middle class, you're going to have superintendents who have good looking wives. You're going to have janitors with good looking wives. You're going to have garbage men with good looking. You're going to have cops with good looking wives. But that's because these women don't believe they can get any better. If they thought that they could get better,
really,
they would,
Joe?
Go for better. Yeah, really. Again,
really.
I don't agree. I really do not agree with that, Joe. I think. Ultimately, women look for love. We look for someone that we can love. And those things are important, but they're not the most important thing. You ultimately want someone that will love you. And I think if that blue-collar guy actually shows love, then he may be...
That blue-collar guy is going to go nowhere with a woman who wants somebody who's not blue-collar. I'd like to be the executive director of a documentary in which there are men who are going to say that they are corporate executives, and they date women who are corporate executives, have the women fall in love with them, and then the women find out that these guys can't afford shit. Bet you the girls don't stay with them.
Hey, Joe, when you mean executive producer, you mean you fund it?
Yeah.
Joe,
what about the executive? I'm sorry, Kat. Go ahead.
No, if he's got money to make a documentary, why not make it something that will make money?
Of
if
course,
he's got
it would
money
make money.
To fund
that's
him.
What that would be my objective.
So
I'm not saying
it'd
be like Michael Moore. I'm not saying it would win the Cannes Film Festival award, but you know it would make money.
Well, it wouldn't necessarily have to be a documentary either.
It would have to be a documentary because it'd have to involve real people, not actors.
I think that's a great idea for a show, Joe.
It would be a great idea.
Well, I think Renee has.
I'm not talking about a TV show. I'm talking about a documentary film.
Okay, wait, man. Let Renee in. Go ahead, Renee.
Well, Joe, I have a question for you. What about all of those executives that have those nice wives that are the eye candy that you're talking about, and then they leave them and they get a younger wife? What's different?
Well, if they leave them simply because the women are getting older or because they're having some sort of midlife crisis, those are scumbags, okay? The man should stay for those women if those women are provided for them emotional support like they're supposed to. Now, if they're leaving them, because remember also, there are a lot of men leaving women to go for uglier women who are about the same age. And people say, why did you leave this beautiful woman for her? Because she gave him something the beautiful woman could not. And what the beautiful woman did not give him was, what do you think? Good companionship.
Attention.
Attention. Giving him support.
Yeah.
Okay, when he's down. Not when he's up. Nobody needs you fucking broads around when somebody's going up. What the fuck are you doing?
There you go.
Can I tell y'all something that happened to me one day? When I lived in Austin, I moved to Dallas, I moved back to Austin, okay? When I lived in Austin before, I had this phone number that was very close to a politician's district office, and I got calls for him all the time. Well, one day, I got this phone call, and this guy said, you know, he wanted to talk to him. He said, and tell him Larry's on the phone. And sometimes I would kid around with people when they would call, and I'd say, yeah, well, Larry who? And he said, Larry Hagman. And it was Larry Hagman,
yeah,
J.R. Ewing,
right.
Okay?
Yeah.
We sat on the phone for an hour and talked about everything we're talking about right now. We talked about how men, well, what his point of view was that men treat women, and no matter how beautiful or talented they are, how men are dogs. And he had been happily married, and I think he was married to the same woman all his life. I mean, all his married life. And he talked about his friends and how badly they were treated by men, how men used them, how men would marry them for money. He talked specifically about Linda Gray, about how she was an abused. She's a good friend of his, and how she was abused. And I was like, so, you know, I'd never really talked to a man before that time about relationships, but he was, you know, he was saying the opposite kind of what you're saying. He didn't have bitterness in his heart or animosity toward women. He looked at it from the woman's point of view and how badly they're treated by men.
And I'd
never heard a man talk like that before.
Didn't I just agree with Renee?
About what? I don't know.
Oh, you didn't
want
to listen
so much
to that, huh?
Yes, he
sometimes
did.
Sometimes I don't
he
listen.
Sure did.
Didn't I agree with Renee? And Renee
yes,
was talking
did
about what you've just mentioned. That
yep.
I said if a man leaves a woman, he's a scumbag if
yep.
he's leaving her because he just wants somebody who's just younger. Now, that happens in Hollywood a lot. So I'm agreeing with Renee.
But younger women do that. Younger women with older men, you are because you don't have that. Well, also she's marrying her daddy. She's doing everything to get approval from her daddy too.
But if her daddy wasn't Daddy Warbucks, Daddy Warbucks.
Well,
she would marry him.
Well, it's better to be in love with a rich man than a poor man. That's true.
Well, that's the show for you, Kat. That's something I can't help.
Did you just say that, Kat?
Sure did.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
She just confirmed everything Joe was just saying with that statement.
No,
yes,
I'm saying that if you're in love. No, I did not. I said
yeah,
it's better
Kat.
To be in love.
Yeah, you did.
Say it
you
again.
You can help who you fall in love with.
Say
no,
it again.
What did you just say?
Say it again.
It's better to fall in love with a rich man. Go ahead.
And it is a poor man. If a poor man, mm-hmm. Look, this is the way I look at men. And when you're younger, and I learned this when I was younger, young men really are not even aware of their potential. And I think that when you marry someone, you should, well, when you're young, you can help that person reach their potential. And then after they reach their potential, they think, oh, you know, I don't want to be with you anymore.
And
you
Ebony laughs because she knows what you're talking about.
No, I'm
talking
about something in the chat room.
Oh, okay. Right.
Oh, just psychic. But if, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to make another statement.
Mm-hmm.
Just it's you can be in a marriage, in a relationship with someone who does have money and be miserable.
That's true.
Because if you love them, I know it's true. You, I mean, you can be absolutely depressed and just, you know, so it's not the money that makes it. But if you are in love, it is better to love someone with money than not, because that person with money can take you places. And, but I married someone equal to me. I mean, I didn't marry someone for the money. But when you have kids, it's better to have money to raise kids and not have money. Come on, give me a break.
Wow. That's so much.
Forget this fucking cover-up. You said what you said.
Yeah,
everybody caught
it. She told on herself now. Yeah, she got
it. I don't agree with you, Kat.
Told us now.
Sorry, I don't agree with you, Kat. I don't agree with what you just said.
Oh, Lord.
And I doubt if Ebony does either. At least I'm
public.
I wasn't totally listening, but because I was talking to the guys in the chat room. But I was going to say I'm dating a guy at the moment who is very well off, very rich. And I'm not dating him for his money. I knew him before when he had nothing, and I dated him when he had nothing.
But
very successful, and I'm dating him while he's very successful.
Yeah. Tell the whole story, Kat, because on your show you told the story about two different guys. You always wanted to find out, and not to interrupt Renee, but the thing is that you always wanted to find out what their goals were. If their goals didn't show that amount of potential, you weren't really that interested. It's like the girlfriend that you knew about, or girlfriends that you knew about, who knew one particular guy, and they said to this guy, when they knew him back in college, they didn't give a fuck about this guy. Once this guy got out of college and attained, about 15 years later, some really significant goals, and then they re-met, then the girl said, if I had known what you were like back then, I would have stayed with you. Fucking shit.
I'm trying to tell Joe, if I can be allowed to tell my own story, because you know what, hey, I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, you don't know.
I do know of people who do that. But I'm saying what's interesting, which is, and I was dating two guys who both wanted to get married, and now it's one, okay? But the reason why I chose the guy I chose out of the two who both wanted to get married was because the one that I knew originally, I knew him when he had nothing, actually. And we got on really well then. You know, he then left the country and went off and made loads of money and whatever. And we have got back together. The money is not the issue. The money was not in the issue even in the beginning. What I really liked about him was the fact that he had really great goals. He was really, really ambitious about his life. And he is still the same person, really highly driven and very much fun to be with. Sometimes the money can be an issue, depends on who you are. I mean, it's nice to know he has got money now, but as it still isn't the overriding factor for me. I still would date someone who has less money, because with money comes other issues, right? Even if someone is rich, actually what it makes, it creates another problem, which is, do you want me for my money or
of
do you
course.
Want me for me, right? So a guy who has money is actually, in a way, it's much harder to find a good person because you've always got that whole issue about money.
And money does not sustain the relationship.
And it doesn't sustain the relationship.
Right.
It doesn't.
Renee, you were about to say something until I cut you off. Sorry.
Oh, I forgot now.
You were talking about how you were didn't completely agree with Kat. Status.
I don't believe that. I don't believe what Kat said is what every young woman out here is looking for. I think what may seem that a young woman looks for is someone who's going to be equal to what they have to bring exactly to the table. And I don't think that they're looking to always bring themselves up, and it's better to have. It is always better to have money, but I don't think that's the initial thing that they're looking for. I think they're looking for someone to be compatible with, someone to be with.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you.
I mean, that's what the average girl is looking for. Now, you do have those ones that look like supermodels, and they're out there, and they're gold diggers, and they're looking for the
women are gold diggers, regardless of whether they know it or not. They're always marrying up. They're always dating up. And their primary concern, no matter how they couch their terms, is the money and the status of the man.
You've got to talk to them. But if you don't have it, then it's okay.
But all of you are right. Okay.
Joe, I don't get why you're talking that way.
You know, I don't know why after having been on your show a few times, after having been here.
No, you got a little attitude tonight.
No
kids. Keep it a free flowing relationship. Just let it go, whatever it is you're holding on to. I mean,
Well, I have an attitude, right. I always have an attitude when I'm talking about materialistic things.
You sound a little bit hurt, babe. You sound a little bit hurt.
So I don't care
let
if I was hurting that. That has nothing to do with you.
I'm sorry. I can't resist.
Yeah, I know. I'm easy to turn on this way. So you like to do it. Okay. And I fell into your trap. Good for you.
Joe is equal opportunity. I love that. Equal opportunity across the board.
Wow.
Oh, God. Well, Joe, right. Let the speak down. Everybody else on the, all the guys who are on the line tonight were all able to say that they could be romantic in some way. And I think the reason why you're feeling a little bit dented is because we had an expectation, the ladies on the line, we were waiting to hear, you know, your romantic side. And then you came out with all this stuff, you know, all this pain.
Do I act like I give a shit about women once?
Boy. Hold on for a minute.
Wait. Hold on.
Kat, you wanted to say something, Kat? Because we're going to have to just silence for a minute. Go ahead, Kat.
Well, I was totally misunderstood and misquoted when I made that statement a while back. It made me sound like what Renee said. I was talking about a gold digger, and that's the only thing. I hate it when people quote me and they misquote me, they misinterpret me. That's one of my pet peeves in life. What I meant when I said it's better to be in love with a rich man than a poor man, basically is what I said, is because you've got all those money issues out of the way. I'm not saying that the money is the basis of the relationship. You can love, why can't you love a rich man the same as you love a poor man? That's like saying women are selling themselves short if they don't marry a poor man. That's so stupid. The things that attract two people together that makes the relationship last is not money. It's not anything shallow. It's intimacy and humor and a positive worldview. And, yes, knowing when to be selfish and make room for yourself. I firmly believe that every woman who's a mother or a wife or both, you need a room of your own in your home that is your retreat, where you can be creative or do whatever you want that the rest of the family doesn't go into, that you do not share that with your family. You have to retain your identity. And I think that's the most important thing in a relationship, is retaining an idea of who you are and what you are. And I don't know how to get that across without Renee coming back and saying that I'm a self, you know, that's very, very selfish. What is wrong with being selfish? You know, I just don't get it.
I don't think she meant it.
I don't think she said you were self. I don't know. I don't think she meant, but Renee can speak for herself. All I would say is that I think definitely women should look, you know, have that little space for themselves in the relationship. I always do. I like to go have my little pamper, have my nails done. You know, I think it's nice to take time out for yourself. And I think, yes, you can lose yourself in a relationship, especially once the kids come along. Your life is actually pretty much dominated by those people. Because you're trying to build a home, because you're trying to make be a good wife and all the rest of it. But, you know, I don't see how people would regard that as being selfish. But I think your point about the money, I agree with that. It doesn't really, it's not a big deal. I think it depends on how you see money in your head, okay? I think some people have a real issue about money. Money is a factor because maybe they have less of it. That's what I see. Because really, if you have money, you know, some of the things that we hold up as, you know, this proves you want to be with me for the right reason or the wrong reason, maybe it wouldn't be so significant. It wouldn't be, you wouldn't be bothered about it.
Well, then
it then becomes about, can I see a good person there or a bad person? And it isn't, do you have to pay for this and I pay for this? Oh, okay, I'll tell you what, my guy has money. And he's, you know, we've been, for the last 2 months, we've been going out solidly. And, you know, and he never asked me to pay for anything. And I never, and actually I've been saying, oh, I'll pay half, blah, blah, blah. And the last night, well, he's going back, gone back to the Caribbean yesterday for a month. Okay, and the last couple of days he was here, I paid for everything. Now, I did it just to basically say thank you and actually take him out and whatever. And he loved it. But he actually said to me, it's not important to me because, you know, money's not a big deal in that sense to me right now. But what's most important is your willingness to step out and do something a little bit different. And you organize it and you pay for it and whatever. I like the effort, but the money itself is not so much of the issue. So I don't know. That's just my take.
Okay. First off, Kat, you had said it's better to love a rich person than a poor person. That takes care of that. Getting back to you, Ebony, you offered, he declined, you didn't insist, and you did it as a gesture for the last time out as a form of celebration, which is what girlfriends do with their boys. So you didn't do anything that was extraordinary, and it doesn't show that you would ordinarily pick up half throughout the rest of the relationship.
No, and he doesn't require me to, because whenever I say
and you don't want
I
him
wanna
to
pay half, he'll say, why would you do that?
And
that,
and you would say, well, thank you, darling, I understand. And you would just shrink back to your shrinking violet little state and say, okay,
no,
my credit card's
like,
in my wallet, and let him spend
like, his. Look, I'm just like, look, I earn less than you. You earn much more than me. Money for you is not an issue right now.
And I'm not picking on you. You're typical of all the chicks.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Ebony, let me ask you a question. When did you find out he had all this money? How far into the relationship were y'all when he found out he had all this money?
Years ago.
I've known him for about 10 years, and I've known all along since. We originally dated when he had no money, and then he sort of broke into the big time.
You got two.
He's got kids. He was in a marriage, and that marriage broke up. And we both broke up with our partners. And then I went off and had, you know, but at the time when I first knew him, he was just breaking into the big time. And then he did shortly after we started dating. But the relationship ended because he decided that his future was living in another country, and I had to grow my kids. So I just like, you know what? You know, go do what you have to do. I'm going to focus on my kids.
I know who you're talking about. You talking about Poverty Supreme.
Okay.
Oh.
I know Poverty Supreme.
Are you dating Poverty?
Am I dating Poverty? Who's that?
Okay, see, you're wrong.
Carbon Audio. You know who that is.
I know who that is. What are you on about?
Did we touch a nerve?
No, I don't know who. I don't know what Poverty Supreme is. What is that?
Okay. All right.
Sure. You lot are just so full of BS, right? I'm not sharing anything more with you. You lot are
But you
I really
want me to share everything I have with
I'm
everybody.
Now doing a Joe Hurt, right? Joe, I'm learning from you. I'm now in pain like Joe. Okay.
That's right. Now go find yourself a good man.
I found one actually, baby.
Now find me a good woman.
Hey, Mr. Talk. What is that Clinton? Yes. What is that Clinton said? I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
That's right. Well, all that stuff was dripping off
your
face.
It all depends upon what is.
Yeah. Okay.
Who's Poverty Supreme?
I don't know. Who is it?
You know, well, he had a show on Blog Talk also.
He used to be a regular caller on Eric's show.
I was joking when I said that. I was just quoting Ebony.
He's from the UK.
Yeah, he's from the UK also.
Was he the one who used to?
Oh, now you know.
No, I remember there was a guy, right? I don't know if his name was Quincy. Oh, I know who you're talking about. The one who used to have really strong political views about racism and stuff.
Yeah,
is that
yeah.
Mm. Why would I date him? He's not got a brain.
Oh. Listen to her.
All right. We can't talk about him now. He's not
here
to defend.
He's not here.
That's right.
I have to say. Okay. Anyway, what I would say to Joe is, if you got rid of the hurt, Joe, you would find a woman so quickly. Okay.
Mm. You don't know me.
No, I know you're hurt though.
You don't know me. You don't know me. I'm gonna get that documentary. I'm gonna put all of you in it.
Look, anyway. Okay, it's 4:30, y'all.
Anybody want to volunteer to be a director?
Yeah, I'll be a director. We have some booty.
Oh, Kat, you got experience?
Oh, very much. My degree? That's what my degree is in, dumbass. Haven't you known me
long
enough to figure that out?
You don't say it.
You know,
I mean, I directed soldiers for 18, 19 years.
Different than directing a film. You got to have coordination. You got to temper
the
egos and stuff.
Come on now.
How am I supposed to fucking know you got a degree in film arts?
Okay, y'all can ask somewhere else.
Not you, Eric. The one who misinterprets everything everybody says.
No, Eric, I've got to get this point in. Bible Truth by Benny says, Ebony, remember, if you find Joe a woman, she will have to be willing to put up with his low libido.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
I'm not responding. I had enough of her for the day.
Don't forget the 5.5-inch monster.
Yeah, but that 5.5-inch monster would have no problem with a libido with the right woman, okay?
No.
And knows what to do, when to do it, how to do it.
Okay.
Oh,
all right.
Libido isn't just about having sex. Libido is about expressing your creativity too. You know, people can channel that energy, that sexual energy, into something very artful, you know, and creative. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
I sure do, and you sound like you might be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's already admitted.
Let me tell you, I am a creative, crazy woman. Men love me. How can I? I can't help it. I'm sorry. That's what I bring to the table.
So what do you get all upset about when I said I visualized what you and I would be like in bed? And you go,
oh, God, not Joe.
Oh, no.
Did we get started on this again? All right. You know what? All right. Okay. We're going to stop right there. Okay, before y'all get started again, or we're going to go on and give y'all your last words, because we be here to midnight messing with y'all. And in tune, boy, I tell you, you're not right. All right. Go ahead. We're going to let you start.
He must have wrote something in the chat room.
Yeah. Go ahead, Into Knowledge, your last words, sir.
I feel that, you know, this is great dialogue, and this is the kind of conversations that people should have more often, because it gives a better understanding from the male perspective and the female perspective. And at the end of the day, I think we all want the same thing. We just go about it in different ways. And with that being said, I just love everybody's comments. I love varying views, whether we agree or disagree. The most important thing is to not be disagreeable.
All right.
Ooh,
I like that.
I see that.
That was a good one, wasn't it? Let's go give him a clap for that. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Very good.
Thank you, sir.
Before you go on, Eric, to the next caller, anybody having a show tomorrow on relationships? Because Eric is not going to have one tomorrow nor Sunday. And so, you know.
Oh, like I don't get the rest on, get some time off.
You normally have one on a Saturday, Eric?
No, Not at all.
I got an inspirational hour tomorrow, but I haven't got a relationship show.
All right, Joe.
Are you looking for some? More
advice? I shouldn't even have asked. I was just pumped up right now, and I just wanted to continue with the discussion. But then I realized after the show, this show's over, I'm going to calm down. So I don't need a show tomorrow or Sunday. So.
Okay. All right. All right, Ms. Renee, with that.
Well, I just think that everybody, men and women are different, but we're not so far apart that we can't understand each other if we just listen to each other and our needs and what we need. And I think each person needs something different, but there's always someone out there for someone else. You always, there's always someone out there for you. You just have to look in the right place.
Yeah.
All right. True. Thank you. So short and sweet as always, but to the point.
Aww.
All right, Renee. Thank you. See you Monday.
Thank
Have
you.
A good weekend. Mm-hmm. All right, Miss Ebony.
Did I hear a grunt from Joe?
No, I said hi, Renee. That's all.
Oh, okay. Just to say, Joe, as you're so pumped up, maybe you want to try some electrics now that, you know, you're not going to get your show tomorrow.
I didn't hear because you broke in it. You were breaking up, and it's probably the best thing that you were.
Well, I was saying that it, so as you're so pumped up, you may want to use an electric something to support yourself, as you're not going to get your show tomorrow. Okay, that's what I'm
thinking. I finally heard what you said. I'm ignoring you.
I'm sorry. This show has been hilarious for me. I'm sorry. I needed cheering up because my guy's gone away, but I have to smile tonight. So I do thank you, Mr. Talk.
I'm so glad to be of service.
I'm sorry. Joe has really made me laugh tonight, and I've appreciated everybody online tonight. I think you guys have had some great comments. I think... Yeah, the question was, what do you bring to the table? And I think I bring to the table my humor. And anybody who lives with me.
Yeah, humor attached to a bee sting. Who are you freaking kidding?
Whatever.
Oh, please. I bring humor as long as I dig the dagger inside his back and twist it.
Oh, well, like I say, anybody who has to live with me better know how to smile. Because, you know what, that's what I do most of my life, so... I'm out. Enjoy your night and your weekend, everyone. Take care.
All right. Goodbye, thank you, Ebony. You too.
Miss Humorous.
Miss Pat, you're on the door. You're on the clock.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I want to apologize if I interrupted people today, and I know I interrupted you, Eric, and I'm so sorry, but I was getting so worked up and so passionate about some comments, so I interjected myself too early in the conversation. But I would like to say your show is so good. When I'm listening to your show, and especially when I'm participating, it's like watching a movie. I really wish everybody that comes here would watch that movie, My Dinner with Andre. It is so good. It's just two men having a conversation at a table. And it's so good. And that's what it's like coming here, is like having my dinner with Mr. Talk group. And you guys don't even know that you are so funny when you're trying to be serious, and you make these definite and very firm statements. You're setting yourself up to be laughed at. And
oh, that's
I
not
do,
directed
and,
towards me at all. No.
No, all of you. I mean, even the women here, of us, when we say things that are so serious, I mean – what I love about this show is we don't take ourselves totally serious. It's not like our egos are pushing over each other, and this is a really good format to enjoy it. And I would like to say to Joe, I really would like to have a lot of money to make a movie. I'll make anything. Anyway, that's all.
All right.
Yeah, maybe we can collaborate.
Joe, she said she'll make anything.
I know. I listen.
I know, Kat. We misunderstood,
Kat. Remember about a month down the line? Hell no.
Look. Okay, Kat, I know we misunderstood what you were saying, but you did say you don't think anything.
Yeah, we misunderstood.
All right, I had to
get
that idea. Of course. All right, Joe. You
now,
man.
What about Vernon?
Vernon gone.
Oh,
Vernon is half gone, yeah.
Oh.
You know, those working men.
Oh, okay. For me, you know, I mean, man of very few words. Good show. Have a good weekend. So I'll see you when I see you. And that's about it.
All right, sir. And, you know, I know you'll be going through withdrawals, but I will be back Monday, okay?
Yeah, I know.
All right. All right,
enjoy your weekend.
You too. All right, y'all. I want to thank everybody for dropping by today to make, once again, this show such a fun show. And I'm telling you, it's Friday, Freedom Friday, and that's what it's supposed to be about, us just having fun, man. But getting to, getting to the points that we need to make also. Oh, man, I'm kind of like Joe. I'm still kind of pumped up right about now. Anyway, don't forget to send your any comments to ericletstalk@gmail.com. I'm on Twitter at driven4life62. Or stop by my Facebook page and leave me a message. Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. Okay? Now, in closing, you know, I always have something to go on. I mean, you know, I have a couple of things I have to do. So, here's my closing statement. It's a poem called No Promises. And I think y'all really will like this. I cannot promise you perfection because that is not who I am. I cannot promise you forever because I do not hold fate within my hands. I cannot promise you sunshine because I know there will be some dark clouds. I cannot promise you complete happiness because with love there comes pain. I cannot promise you I always smile because life always has a way of making you cry. I cannot promise to always stand strong because life happens and we all may fall. You know, I let y'all that marinate a little bit. But the title of that is No Promises, and I really like that. That was really cool. You know, I really like that. And if y'all want to know who I'm getting all these great poems, you know, hit me up and, that'd be good. Okay, so Monday. Soapbox Monday, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, and 12 Pacific time. But y'all know what? It's Friday, right? You know we can't go out here all serious, right? So you know what I want y'all to do? Go on and get up, get ready, and let's get our party on one last time. Here it is, Flashlight. Spotlight on.